Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shoppe. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The plane is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I started a little late. I got out of a meeting. I apologize to Miss Pat Oberlin and to a lot of people who expected me to be on a couple hours earlier. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever you are, we are global. Have you never heard the show before? You've been missing a lot. And have you heard the show before? You're still missing a lot. Until I'm back on. I'm your favorite guy. It's me. I'm lovable, culpable, and you can take me home, but just don't break me. You know, here we go. Our first subject today, titled show, What You Should Know Before You Do a 23andMe. This is very confusing. This is very fucked up. And we're going to hear some stories, and there's going to be some kind of confusion because I'm still confused right here. Here's the body of the show. It was an innocent, you know, it was innocent enough request. His son wanted a 23andMe DNA test for his birthday, but the results revealed a hidden secret. You know what? This is going to be a special show. I usually don't do shows like this. I do have friends who believe in spiritual entities. And to be honest with you, before I had those friends, I haven't really thought much. I kind of thought there was ghosts hanging around. I kind of did. At one period of time, things were happening around a certain time. I got this, obsessive something disorder. Well, anyway, something was happening around a quarter of three. And, you know, I didn't really think anything. So one day, I decided to, when the disturbance was happening, I decided to look at the clock. And it always happened at a quarter of three. Weird. I had that back then. I didn't know what that meant. It's just that if I heard a bump or this, a racket or this, dishes, blah, 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 blah. Now I started looking at the clock. Quarter of three. And as I was talking to friends and everything, because I got obsessed with this quarter of three business, and as I started talking to friends and everything, they said quarter of three. I go, quarter of three. They said quarter of three. I said quarter of three. They go, quarter of three. I go, yeah, dude, quarter of three. Brian, quarter of three. Dude, quarter of three. That's how the conversation went. That's how I talked, because they also have obsessive disorders. And then I found out that if you're a spiritual person, that's where the ghost I guess they sleep in, and that's when they arrive. I don't know why it happens at a quarter or three. Now, I have Pat in the studio. And Pat has a really interesting background with ghost, psychic ability, tarot card reading, spirituality. And so I don't want to paraphrase what a quarter or three means, and I found out what it means. And she's right here. So I'm going to see if I can talk to Pat. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I am fine.
Good. Thank you for waking up. I know you're grumpy at me, and I know you want to punch me in the face, but thank you for,
no,
for hanging in there.
No, no.
Pat, a quarter of three, does that mean anything to you?
Actually, they used to think the witching hour was 12 o'clock. That's what the theories were, but it's actually 3 o'clock in the morning. Most activity is 3 in the morning.
Why is that, Pat?
I have no idea. Quite honestly, I don't think it has much to do with clocks. I think it's just a vibe at that time of night.
Really?
You know,
because
people are settled down, everything is calm. You know what I mean?
Right.
At 12, people are still busy. They
Maybe
might not
right.
notice.
That was very interesting. And I just Googled what you were saying, and you're absolutely right. The witching hour is the mysterious time when the supernatural world is said to be more active and powerful than usual. And that's what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, they have crystal here. They said that you're spot on again. This is in folklore, the witching hour or the devil's hour.
It's
a time of night that is associated with supernatural events whereby witches, demons, and ghosts are thought to appear and be at their most powerful. Is that the most powerful?
Yeah, that's a three.
Wow. You know, definitions vary, includes the hour immediately after midnight and the hours between 12 p.m. and, let me see more. Thought to be at the most powerful definition varies, includes the hour immediately after midnight and the time between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., Pat.
Yep. Yep, that's when you get most activity.
That's when the term now has a widespread associated with human psychology, behavior to more superstitious phenomena such as luck. Now, the phrase witching hour began at least as early as 1775.
Yeah.
There's a poem called Night. In the poem, Night, I don't know if it's the same word because that's a comma. The poem Night and Ode, O-D-E, by Reverend Matthew. We got to check, but I got to do this. I got to, you know, I know I'm going off track, but there's a reason I'm going through this. I never heard that poem before. I'm going to see if I can Google it. And the reason why I'm talking about this, thank you, Pat. The reason why I'm talking about this is that people know that I don't sleep. I know Pat doesn't. I don't sleep. I don't sleep. The best time, I don't know what it is about the nighttime, is that maybe it's still and it's quiet or whatever, and you get your thoughts together and there's no distraction. I don't know. And it's not uncomfortable
Nobody's
for me
bugging
to
bugging you, Brian.
That is true. And it's no big secret that I'm awake, you know. I mean, if you guys wake up at 5 in the East Coast, if you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm still awake, you know. It's like, oh, I'm still working. This is 3. So sometimes what happens is that I get redundant. I watch the news 24/7. I get tired of the news and everything. So sometimes I'll just sit there and I'll close my eyes for just 5 minutes, 6 minutes. I don't know if you want to call it a power nap or whatever, but I don't sleep. I just lay down. And then I listen to George Norrie, and I talk about George Norrie all the time. If you don't know who George Norrie are, if you have an iHeartRadio, you should know who George Norrie is. Now, George Norrie is a guy who's on at the witching hour. I think in California. He'll come on at 11 o'clock, whatever. And he's on until about 5, 6, in the maybe 4 in the morning. And what George Norrie does is he has guests on, and they talk about their encounters with transgenders. You know what I'm trying to
say. Dimensional?
No. Ghost. E.T., ghost. I got lost with the transgender. Yeah. Transsexual. Forget it. But anyway, they'll be talking about their encounters with UFOs, ghosts, spiritual people, blah, blah, blah. So last night was no different. Tape dive, Club I, George Norrie. It wasn't George Norrie, but it's another person taking his place. And this person happened to be talking about angels. I go, that's different. Now, Pat, do you believe in angels?
Yeah, I do.
Do
but
you?
But not in the traditional sense. Not in the sense that people think, you know.
Really? Tell me in a sense that you do believe in angels and things like that. I like to hear it. And what you believe in?
Well, I believe there are supernatural beings that do function as angels, but I don't believe in the religious hierarchy, right?
Right.
And
right,
I know there are beings that do affect us. They do have names. If you go through certain books and stuff, you will find them over and over on tarot cards and whatnot. The beings are named that are associated. So.
And that's it. Yeah, go ahead, Pat. Keep on.
No, I do believe in angels, but like I said, I don't believe in them in the church view.
Okay. Can you name one angel? Everybody knows one angel. You should name one angel.
Well, Gabriel.
Oh, you okay? I wasn't even thinking about Gabriel. Okay, let me
give
you another shot.
There's Raphael. There's a bunch of other ones.
Wow. Now you're going with the Ninja Turtle angels.
Okay. I never even thought about that.
Interesting. Okay, and what I found was interesting about that podcast is that not only did he name the angels, there is Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is one of the most powerful angels of God. That's Gabriel. He's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is another angel. He's a powerful angel of God. Raphael. He's another famous angelic being. And Uriel, I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Uriel.
One of the biblical angels. I can't pronounce this one. Seraphiel? I can't pronounce it. She's an archangel of God. Now, I know I mispronounced it, but anyway. So what I found most interesting is that the host asked the guest, what's the difference between your guardian angel, and do you have one, and an archangel? And I thought that was very interesting in his reply, the difference between the two.
What did
now,
you say?
The guest said that he has contact with the angels. He talks to the angels. The angels come to him. And you're going to be in for a treat. You're going to be in for a fucking treat. No, there's no angel named fucking, but that's just me talking. And if you do see an angel called the angel of fucking, woohoo! you could pray to the fucking angel. I don't know. It's true. So you're going to be, and so this guy was so interesting. And if you know me, it takes a while for me to get interested in something. And he was so fucking interesting. And then he goes, so he has these contacts with these angels. And then he says, there's a difference between archangels and your guardian angels. And the difference is that the archangels are spiritual angels. They're spiritual angels like Gabriel, one of the most powerful angels of God. The guardian angels are angels that we have that protect us, that are with us. They're more earthbound angels and everything. But, you know, but what was very interesting, so I went into it. It's on my phone, and I can't move it, but it was so interesting. Do you know how – Brad, I'm going to ask you. You may not know all this because, like you said, you're not studying the angels. So I'm not putting you on the spot, okay? I'm not putting you on the spot. All right, so everybody, I'm not putting her on the spot. But do you know how many angels the average person has? How many, the average person with the guardian angels, do you know how many there are?
How many each person has?
Yes.
Well, I know it's more than one.
Right.
Because there's like a supervisory and a lower one.
Right.
So I think it's something like three.
Wow. Right on, Pat. Right on. You're exactly right. Three. The average person will have three angels who are their guardian angels. See, this is why if you look at the, and this is going to be really trippy when I go on and talk, but this is why I have that talk today that's in the studio about do you believe in angels and are they real and blah, 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 blah. So that's why that could be a part two. And I know my audience, I don't know, I'm hoping, I got some spiritual people, Pat and Laverne and Melissa and everything. They're spiritual people. And I got a lot of people going, Brian, you got to quit smoking that weed. I told you got a hold of some bad stuff the other day. No, you don't need that.
You should.
Now, the other, yes, I do. Give me, I pray to the angel of weed. Hello, Mary Jane. No, okay. And, oh, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. Hell. That's blasphemy. So I thought that was a treaty. Now, there are seven archangels. There are seven archangels. Now, the archangels are spiritual angels. And they're not... See, this is where I got a little tired and everything. I need a little help. But he says, they ask, well, who are the archangels? Can they be made, or who do they become angels? And the person says, well, he didn't know too much, but he says he talked to them, they're with them. He says, no, they're spirit, they're energy. That's who the archangels are. They're spiritual, they're energy. But the guardian angels, I guess you could apply for the job. And... you go down and you protect people. Now, don't think this is all happy and everything and dandy and you're picking dandelions and roses. There are some dark angels, too. So he asked them, goes, tell me about the dark angels. He goes, I don't mess with the dark angels. I'm with the good angels. He wouldn't go on that side. He wouldn't go there to the dark
because
angels.
Because if
know.
You name them, they can affect you.
Yes, that's what I heard. So he didn't go near the dark angels. So we're gonna go near. So we're gonna name them.
Good for
Hello,
you, dear.
Hello. Only on our show. We're gonna out them. We're gonna out you, you little dark angels. And Pat is absolutely correct. If you, it's like I guess if you look in the mirror and you say Candyman five times, he appears like hello. And so the dark angels, nobody talks about the dark angels. You have to talk in a whisper because they can't, they're hard of hearing. You have to whisper dark angels because if you talk out loud, the dark angels will hear you. So I'm not going to talk out loud because I don't want them hearing. So I'm going to go like this because they're really hard to hear. They can't really hear you. But if you summon them, the dark angels will appear. Shh. Did you hear that? I don't know. Anyway. The seven angels. Here we go. Number one. Did I mention them all? I mentioned a couple. Did I mention the seven? Well, here it is. The seven archangels, also known as the seven princes of heaven. I did not know that, Pat. They're known as the seven princes, the prince of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the first group of angels to exist and the most loyal to God. The eldest and first among them all is... And then it cuts off. It cuts off. I'm sorry. It doesn't give me the name. It has to be Gabriel. It has to be Gabriel.
You need me to look this up?
No. I'm doing good. It has to be Gabriel, the most powerful angel of all. But there's seven
I think
of them.
It's Michael.
You think Michael is more powerful than Gabriel? Wow.
I think so.
Well, Michael was a fallen angel at one time, wasn't he, if I remember that part of the Bible?
I don't think so.
Well, there's Samuel. Here's the angel. 1, 2, 3. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, there's a lot of angels. I'm not going to name them all. There are a lot, including Benny. Benny. It comes out of the book of, is it Enoch? Am I pronouncing it
Enoch.
Right?
Enoch. Yeah.
Enoch. So if you go into the book of Enoch, you can go on there. But like it says, the seven angels. Michael is the one, is the captain of all of the angels and archangels. Michael is, hey, what do you know? There you go, Pat. You're batting 1,000%. Wow. I'm so impressed with you.
Well, it's kind of up my alley. Even though I'm not religious.
And Japhiel serves as the yellow ray of illumination. Chamuel serves as the pink ray of spiritual love. Gabriel is probably the most well-known. Raphael serves on the green ray of divine healing. Now, this is what their jobs are. Even angels got jobs to do.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into, so here's the treat. So it's not like I gave it away because I have to start the show. So this dude, right, this heavenly dude, it's like heavenly dude, what? Heavenly dude, Brian, what? Well, this heavenly dude, so he claims that he talks to angels, right? I'm sitting here going, you talk to angels? He goes, I talk to angels. But you don't talk to the dark ones. You don't know. Now, this is not a racist thing with the angels. It's not racist. I'm going to get some people saying, that's just racist. Shut up. So then he brings, I can hear your pussy. Hello, puss-puss. Hello, Pat, puss-puss. See how good I am? I can talk to your pussy and I can quiet it down. Shh. Here, good kitty. You see that? Look how powerful. Like, oh, he can talk to me. I do talk to pussy. Thank you. Hey, don't make me come over there. Okay, here we go. I got lost with the pussy. It always. Oh, so
we're
anyway.
Talking about angels, honey.
Yes. Yes. So I'm up there saying, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden he hits me with this. He goes, I talk to them, and I'm with them, and they're there, and I see them, and blah, 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 blah. And I go, okay, let's cut with the blah, 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 right? And then it was like, then he said something that I didn't understand what he said. And it kind of just blew my brains. It went, that one brain cell that was still operating, it was still, you know, I have to recharge it once in a while. It blew it. And I just looked like a pumpkin. I was just staring in space. I had nothing up in my head for a while, then came back. So he summons the angels. He summons the angels. And they said, well, how do you summon the angels? He goes, well, they're kind of childlike. The angels are kind of childlike. Maybe I'm an angel. You guys didn't even know it. So be nice
you
to me.
You can evoke them.
Yeah. Well,
there's a witchcraft ritual that evokes angels. Like if you
really want to
talk to the things, yes.
Right. Well, he summons the angels, and they said, and I'll tell you exactly what blew my mind. Right after this. So the beginning of our show here is called 23andMe DNA, and here we go. Pat, don't you leave me, but I know you got to leave. I know you do, sweetheart. Just give me a heads up about 5 minutes before you leave, sweetheart.
Okay.
You're the only one. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about, there's a lot of you nutcases out there. Don't forget, I gave you an angel cliffhanger. Yes, I did that on purpose.
What was the 23andMe headline for today? What did
well,
that
what you should know before you do a 23andMe. And you know what a 23andMe is, Pat? You know these people who are
no.
trying to find their ancestries. These are people who take these DNA tests, and they want to know who their ancestors were. Or you
oh,
know,
well, they
or,
get upset quite a bit of the time.
Yeah, those people. And they're thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen. Uh-huh. So, you know, these people who's, you know, I get them all. I get the commercials all the time with these ancestry commercials, like take these tests and find out where you come from. And let me tell you, you morons, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm going to have a live channel on YouTube and do this kind of thing. And you'll be able to see me do this kind of thing and the expression and the disgust I have when I'm thinking, when I'm talking to about morons. But, so, it doesn't matter. If I had a guy come up to me and says, oh, I did a 23andMe and I'm related to King George the 14th. I said, so? Well, I'm related to royalty. So what, you live in a box in Walmart? What's that going to do for you? What does that do to you, President? I don't care who, you know, and I don't know about this, and I don't know about DNA, and I'm not a professor, I'm not a biologist, and I'm not a genealogist, and whateverologist there is. But there's always, I always thought there was something funny about the DNA, and it can be manipulated, it can be this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm a cynical bastard. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who your uncle, who your great-great-grandfather was, and he fought in a war, and he saved the villages and the huts. And, you know, how come you always hear the good ones? How come you don't hear a fucker saying, you know, I did a 23andMe, and I found out that I was related to Hitler? Really? Yeah. Or Genghis Khan, or, you know, really terrible people. You don't hear that much. And it's almost like some psychics, and don't get offended, Pat, it's almost like some psychics will just give you happy stuff because they want you to happy. And even if they see dark shit in there, they're not going to give you dark shit. They're going to give you happy shit. And I think the same thing with the DNA. I think it's a big scam.
I
think it's a money maker. I'm sorry, Pat.
I warn my clients that they're going to hear
oh, yeah.
the truth.
Yeah. It's the biggest scam in the world. And
it is, isn't it?
It is. And there's a sucker born every moment. So we're going to go really quickly with those stories, and then we're going to get back to the cliffhanger. This guy blew. Dude, listen to my voice when I change stories. This guy blew my mind, Pat. He really did. Because I didn't really expect him to say this shit. And then he said it. I go, shit. He said the shit. It made me sober because I was really hitting on a great buzz. Ooh.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. I got some new stuff. And it's like, and it says on the little thing, you know, I like when you're going to the dispensary. When I go to the dispensary, they got these beautiful, forget the packaging. They give me, like, I don't even know how to describe it, jars. Most thing I could do is jars or whatever, and they are so gorgeous that you can actually put them on your china set, and they look so hot. They're beautiful
yeah.
little jars with weed on, you know, with the weed on it, and it is just cool. I don't get as much as I would get if I was going with somebody. I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who, you know, who can get it for you. Now, I tell the story that I used to do that back in the day. It was like, hey, Leo, hey, Brian, hey, Leo, hey, Brian, hey, Leo, hey, Brian, hey, Leo, hey, Brian. That's how we talk. All of us have that obsessive disorder behavior. I think, can you can get me something? He goes, what do you want? I go, I don't know. Weed. What kind of weed do you want, Brian? That you smoke? Yeah, we all smoke the weed, Brian. What do you want? What kind of strain? On my nerves. Strain on my nerves. You're straining my nerves. I don't know. I don't know these things because back in the day, we didn't have much information on the weed. I wasn't a weed connoisseur. All I knew was illegal, and I don't want to get busted. He goes, well, I can get you some Kush. I go, what the fuck is Kush? Well, and then they talk to you. Oh, it's so good. I go, really? And they talk in that good voice. Oh, so good. And it's like a guy will talk to another guy in a voice of a girl was great in bed. Hey, Brian, you know about Lori? Oh, she was so good. It would be like a whisper. She was. It's like a big secret because you don't want everybody else to bang Lori. It's like, ooh, okay, really? And then the other guy will talk to you in a little whisper. How good was she? Oh, God, you know what? She sucked my balls, too. She sucked your balls. She not only did she suck my balls. Okay, most girls suck my balls. She put all of them in her mouth, including the balls. She put the dick and the balls in your mouth? Yes, and she still had the nerve to drink some water at the same time. Damn! Lori became a legend. Where's Lori? So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. I got some great weed, Brian. Really? Okay, what's the weed? Okay, well, what do you want? What do you mean what I want? Well, do you want back then, do you want a dime bag? Do you want a three-quarter thing? Do you want five fingers? It was something like five. If I'm trying to remember, five fingers or whatever. It was something. It was like that. It was that kind of stuff. I said, well, what are the costs? The cost back then, cost was like, if you want a dime bag. And to this day, Pat, I don't know what a dime bag is. And they name it a dime bag.
Did
it ever cost a dime? Huh?
Yes, they did.
They cost a dime? They actually did cost a dime? Did it?
No,
did
no.
Really?
It was like a $10.
Yeah, $10.
A dime
right.
Represented $10.
You're right.
So
you're right.
When I was young...
Yeah.
I was at the point where an ounce cost $25. Mind you, you had to sift out the seeds.
Right. And that's my story.
$25, you'd get a bag.
Right. Exactly.
We'd sit there with the album covers and a piece of something to knock out the seeds, right?
Right.
So,
they did a lot of things
yeah.
with those album covers too. They did the same thing with the cocaine with the album covers. Those album covers, you know, I bet you when they went to CD, everybody goes, fuck, I missed the album
covers.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was. I remember my friend did the same thing. He'd get his Pink Floyd album cover. Check it out, Brad. Ooh. Yeah. Pat, you're taking me back. So and then, but see, here's what happened. So you finally get the shit, and it's heavy. I'm like, why is it heavy? Shh. I'm thinking I'm a lucky guy. I'm not going to say shit because it's heavy weed, and weed's not heavy. I'm going, they probably gave me more than I should get. Okay, here's your $10. Get away from me. All right, Brian, see you later. Shh, you don't know my name. Shh.
What was in it?
Dirt. And there was sticks in there. There was dirt in there. Remember the
oh,
sticks?
Oh, God.
There were sticks. There were little pieces of sticks in there. There was dirt. I didn't even see a rock in there, some kind of pebbles and stuff. You know.
Holy shit.
Exactly.
Just trying to get the weight, right?
Exactly. And then you had to shift the dirt out, and then you got the sticks. They call it the sticks. You know what I'm talking about, right, Pat? You know, the sticks
yeah, I
or
do.
The twigs. And you got to make sure you get those twigs out, because if you don't, they will pop when you light them, and they will almost blow up your nose. And
no,
then
that's
you gotta
only
do that.
The seeds, honey. That's the seeds.
Yeah, the seeds, too. They
the
pop
seeds
like
blow crazy. Up real good.
They do. <don't. laughs> It's like, I wonder if that's how they invented hot rocks or pop rocks. I wonder if that dude who probably smoked the weed, probably smoked the seed, got it popped and going, you know, this is a good idea. This is, that's fun. And I bet you he created pop rocks with that shit. But
well, you definitely don't want a seed in your pipe, that's for sure.
No. So that's how it was back in the day. That's how it was. Now you go to this, but I think you got more weed in the street back in the day than you do at the dispensary. So dispensary, I'm paying $45. I'm paying
for how much?
$5. It says. Like you, I don't even know. To this day, I don't know what it is. An ounce, maybe? I think it's an ounce.
Grams? No, they sell in grams.
Do they sell them in grams? Then I'm getting a gram.
Yeah, 28 grams is an ounce.
Okay. Then I think I'm getting that kind of thing. But it's not half as much as back in the day for $10, you know? But again, you're getting all
oh,
the
hell
other
no.
shit with it. You're getting the other shit with it. But they're stronger. Weed is stronger now. Pat, do you go to the dispensary? Because I do. Or do you have
No, I'm black market all the way.
Really? So do you grow your own?
Oh, hell no. That's dirt weed.
So when you say black market, what does that mean?
It means they're, you know, the growers where the dispensaries get it.
Right.
Okay, well, I have a friend that knows a grower that goes in the back door.
Really? I used to have a friend who knew a girl who loved to go in the back door. So we have that in common. That's interesting.
I've been doing that for years. I used to own a vapor lounge.
You told me that at one time.
Yeah, so, you know, people could go there and vaporize their weed and hang around and, smoke dabs and all that.
Oh, I don't like dabs at all. I think dabs is a big waste of money. I think wax
people
and dabs
are,
they are really dumb. I mean, you're paying a lot for it. I tried my first dab in Alaska. And it was like, I go, that was it. And he goes, yeah, you just smoked like $100 worth. And I go, what?
It's
to me is a big...
$60 a gram, honey. $60 a gram. That's fucking insane.
It is. It is nuts. And wax or dams. But they say they're supposed to give you this super high thing. I didn't feel
it.
It
does,
but
you know what? It's so concentrated when you smoke it.
Right.
That what's the point? Your lungs can only absorb so much.
That is true. Ooh,
so you might as well be using a vaporizer with regular weed.
Right.
Because
go ahead.
I don't use the handheld vaporizers.
Really?
No, I have a volcano.
Wow. Okay. Somehow that sounds very sexy. I have never used a vaporizer. I don't know anything about those. I'm still old school. I still use the weed pipe. I still do. I like it. I can control how much I could put in my lungs. You know, I've never used that kind of stuff.
Buy a volcano. Buy a volcano. Wow. That's all I can tell you.
Are you serious? I'm going to look what a volcano
I am serious.
I'm going to look what a volcano looks like. Where could I get one? How do you spell volcano? Vol.
It's just basic volcano.
What is it? A volcano? What would you say? Volcano.
It's a cone-shaped object that's metal that heats up the weed and blows it into a bag. So
what?
You're smoking vapor out of a bag.
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
So
I
about three bags or four bags.
Do you really? It
seems
like that's just as much as the dab because aren't you...
No, but
that's
it's
a lot
not
of weed.
It is, but it's not as dense.
I'm going to show you something, Pat. I'm going to show you something in your... Oh, I can't get it. Damn it. Here's a woman with a thing. She goes, the five best volcano vaporizers and accessories from the store. It looks like a little R2-D2 cone-shaped thing. I mean, that's big. I mean, it looks like it's about...
Well, it's a fair size. It's a couple of handful.
And
but,
you
know, if you're serious about your weed...
Yeah.
And you don't want to spend as much because the volcano accelerates the high.
Well, I'm going to take your word for it, but they're expensive. This one's right here is $529. Well, here's the volcano.
Oh, they've gone down
bucks.
From 1,000.
Did they really?
Yeah, but you can buy different types of vaporizers of the same method. There's one that's $150. It'd be cheaper in the States. And,
wow.
Because volcanoes are something like $800 here.
Yeah, they look expensive. It says so you're putting it in the volcano in place of the pipe.
You put
right?
the weed in a thing called a filler, and you set it on top of the volcano. The reason the volcano is so wide.
Right.
The reason the volcano is so wide is because of the fan in it.
Oh, there's a fan in it.
there's a fan in it. So after the weed heats up, you leave it about 10 minutes to loosen the oil in the leaves.
Right.
And then you put the bag on top.
Right.
And you fill the bag. It takes about less than a minute to fill the bag.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's like, damn, that's a big-ass bag. Uh-huh.
And if, well, I make bigger bags because I make my own bags, but.
Wow.
Anyhow.
You make bags? Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyhow, so when it fills the bag, it's just straight weed oil. It's no, when you're doing the handheld vaporizers,
mm-hmm.
there is chemicals in with the weed oil.
Okay.
And that's why they were saying vaporizing can hurt you.
Right.
But if you're using an air and fan contraption,
right,
you're not going to have that problem. But the cheaper ones work just as well. They just take longer.
Well, here, I'm going to buy one. Here's one. But how do you get the bags? So I guess you have to replace the bags all the time? Is that the thing?
No, you buy a roll of bags.
Right, right. And where do you get, can you get these bags at Target or something, or you have to go to one of these shops? Or?
I don't know because I'm not in the States, honey.
I see.
I get them online.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
And even Amazon sells this stuff.
Okay, there's a way to get it. Well, here's the pros.
So you would need to buy you would need to buy the kit. So you'd have to buy the vaporizers and you'd have to buy the valve set with the bags. And then after you use up the bags,
mm-hmm.
you keep the valves.
The valves?
And you buy valves.
Mm.
The part that you breathe out of or you put the weed in. Anyhow, you keep the valve, you take off the bag, and you can buy replacement bags that go into the valves.
Wow. Well, here's the pros on that, Pat. Here it goes. We're talking about the Volcano. Here's the pros. It's the original vaporizer, which in 2000... they launched the entire vape industry. So they copied this
mm-hmm.
vaporizer, and people are vape. Today, two decades later, Volcanoes are still widely considered the best vaporizers available. That's what you said.
Yeah.
A person says, I use one regularly for years, and I can't rave enough about it. Their detachable balloon design may be the healthiest way to toke ever invented. No heat on the lungs. This latest model is an LED screen. Okay, here's the cons. It's not portable. It must be plugged in and weighs nearly 5 pounds. Damn. Here's another con.
Yeah, but it's worth it. It's worth it.
It's worth it. Here's another con. It's expensive, but it will last forever. There you go with the worth it.
Yeah.
And here's another con.
Even if they break down, you can get them repaired.
Wow, and here's another con. If the neighbors see you inhaling from a balloon, they may think you're doing nitros. So you're inhaling from a balloon? So that's what it is? So it goes
the
up into the...
The bag is a balloon.
Oh, it is. So, oh, my God. And then you just inhale, and then you let the balloon fill up, and then you just inhale from the balloon?
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know if I like that, Pat. Ugh. That's like, remember back in the day they called it huffing?
You're inhaling burning matter this is not burning.
Mm.
There's no carbon going in your lungs with this.
Wow. I'm going to have to talk to you about the weed history. Well, there you go. Thank you, Pat. Thank you very much.
Yeah, listen, I have to go for a few minutes. I'll call back.
Okay, kiddo. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Pat, thanks for coming.
Is that anybody else on the line?
No, it's just me and you. I'm on a weird time. Don't worry, I can talk to myself. I got friends in my head.
You got friends in your head.
I got them. They don't leave me.
I'll
say goodbye, Pat. They speak different languages.
I'll be back as fast as possible.
You take your time, kiddo. Thanks for coming in. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, I'll be back. Bye.
All right, kiddo. Good. Good to see you back. Okay, there goes Pat, everybody. There she goes. All right, we're going to get back to our stories. That was an interesting talk with Pat. Here we go. The number is 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. Dude, you're not. I'm telling you, I left you with the angel cliffhanger. It fucking blew my mind, and it works. If you believe in angels and you want to call an angel, and I normally don't whistle. And noise normally comes out like, it's unbelievable. But first, we're going to talk to DNA. So that's the number. I'm going to get some coffee, and we're going to get right to our main story. What you should know before you do a 23andMe. That's what you should know. Okay? What you should know. So when we come back, that's it. We'll give people a chance to get in the studio. I see 2111-319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number. They'll get your voice heard around the world. That's it. I'm still getting a lot of flack. Only one person, though, is hounding me about transgender. I almost feel like Chappelle, they're chasing him. You could come at me all you want to. They're not mean, but don't preach transgenderism to me because, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't care. I don't care if you're transgender. I don't care if you're trans. I don't care if you're bi. I don't care if you're tri. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're fae. I don't really care. And in fact, I'm going to get a t-shirt saying, so I don't have to keep saying it because it's exhausting. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says, I don't give a fuck. I really don't care. I don't care. And I will not, and just because I don't accept something doesn't mean that I'm a homophobe. I'm not a homophobe. It's that you're a moron. And you're an asshole. And a lot of people are afraid to call you guys who keep pressuring me to say, accept me, love me, Brian, accept me, Brian, love me, you got to love me, shut up. No, I don't have to love you. But I will play this song and we'll be right back. And I'll get right to the story, what you should know before you do a 23andMe. We'll be right back.
This is the manifesto of Mother Monster. On Goat, a government-owned alien territory in space, a birth of magnificent and magical proportions took place. But the birth was not finite, it was infinite. As the wombs numbered, and the mitosis of the future began. It was perceived that this infamous moment in life is not temporal, it is eternal. And thus began the beginning of the new race, a race within the race of humanity, a race which bears no prejudice, no judgment, but boundless freedom. But on that same day, as the Eternal Mother hovered in the multiverse, another more terrifying birth took place, the birth of evil. And as she herself split into two, rotating in agony between two ultimate forces, the pendulum of choice began its dance. It seems easy, you imagine, to gravitate instantly and unwaveringly towards good. But she wondered, how can I protect something so perfect without evil? It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up, because you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends. Subway can't rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin. Believe capital H I. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen, you're black, white, beige, Chola, descent. You're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast for leader tease, rejoice and love yourself today, 'cause baby, you were born this way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, Chola,
this way. You don't have to tell me. I could tell by the heart on underneath your dress that you are a transgender. There you go. That's it. What you should know before you do a 23andMe. So the title was, it was an innocent enough request. His son wanted a 23andMe DNA test. All right, so let's start with the beginning. The beginning is, that's my information. How did it get there? That's personal. Here we go. This is really contradicting, and this kind of fucks me up. My main thing is, I saw an episode of Law & Order. I'm a big fan of Law & Order. I think it was Law & Order. Yeah, it was Law & Order. So they're looking for the suspect, blah, 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 blah. And then they said they found out that his cousin or somebody did a 23andMe DNA. I think it was a rape victim, or maybe it was a special unit, whatever. And so they wanted to get the information. And it kind of was against the law to get the information. Somehow they got the information. You have to see the episode. It was an interesting episode. So the other cop was pissed off and said, we can't use this information. And then the other cop says, Hathaway or whatever. She says, we could use this information to connect the rapist. We got his DNA. And other cop says, this is not ethical, blah, blah, blah. I would not be a part of it. Okay, there you go. End scene. Interesting. We go from the beginning. You did 23andMe. Basically, it's a DNA test. I don't have to go into the details what it is. It's a DNA test. And you morons are here, and I'm watching it. It came on last night. Do you want to know who your ancestors are? No, I do not. I don't give a fuck. Well, whoever my ancestors are, it's not going to help me in my situation now. As I guess I can go get a job and say, do you know who my ancestor is? My ancestor was... he was from Africa, and he was a king, and he ruled the countryside for many generations, and I'm part of it, so please, can I get a job at Walmart and chief cashier? It doesn't mean shit, so I don't know why you do it. And what pissed me off is the number one enemy of all, the worst of the worst, the evil of the evil, got involved with the testing, the DNA testing. The most evil man on this planet, the most disgusting piece of shit that I don't even know how he could even live with himself, got involved with his DNA testing. And that disgusting man is Maury Povich. Have you ever seen Maury Povich? He's the fucker that destroyed people's lives. And don't give me no spin. Have you ever seen his show? First he started having a regular show like Springer. Then he found gold. So he would get these poor moron bastards to come on his show. And this is the most disgusting thing you've ever done if you ever see a Maury Povich show. And they would discuss who's the father. Now you got ignorant assholes on this show, have no money, and they say, you come on this show, we're going to humiliate you, we're going to expose you that you're a whore, or we're going to expose you that you're a deadbeat, ignorant fucker to the world, but in change we'll do a DNA test and see if that's your father. And he would do this, and he would humiliate these people, and the crowd was worse than Springer. And they would yell and scream and do this and humiliate people so they could take it. Then he comes back, well, you're not the father, and she's the biggest whore on this planet. This guy is the most disgusting piece of shit ever walked in life. I even put Hitler above this piece of worthless worm shit, Maury Povich. Now, Maury Povich came out. Oh, how I get the bong. Okay. I got a lot of stuff up here. Where are you, Maury, you piece of shit? So Maury Povich, oh, here he is. So Maury Povich announces yesterday, 21 hours ago, that he's going to put his name on an at-home DNA test called The Results Are In. So he's going to capitalize on this, too. So he's launching his own home paternity test kits called The Results Are In. This is what this motherfucker is doing. what this motherfucker is doing. He's going to capitalize on this. Now, I didn't think you could capitalize on a DNA test. I didn't think you could. We're going to read what this motherfucker is up to. This is the worst scum of the earth. Destroyed people, destroyed families, destroyed... Just, he has no soul whatsoever. Maury Povich announces a at-home DNA test called The Results Are In. This is announced yesterday. Motherfucker. I hope that... There's a special seat in hell for this motherfucker. There's a special seat in hell. Maury Povich announced a new business venture last week that would help more people learn if they aren't the father. So now you're going to play with this. You're going to play on how serious DNA is. So you're going to play on this. And as a show, you aren't the father. You think that's funny? You really think that's funny, Maury Fuck-a-bitch? You really think that's funny? DNA is, I mean... Okay, now to be honest, no, there's only two sides to a coin. It's really expensive to do a DNA test if you don't have the money, okay? So you have this thing about, okay, let me sell my soul. How much is my soul worth? So I can get a free DNA test because I can't afford it the regular way. So how much is my soul worth, Maury? And then he's happy. He's selling his DNA test, and he says, you are not the father phrase, announced the news on TMZ Live, and he announces it on TMZ Live, and he said the tests are called, the results are in. The results are in. Start the day smarter. Get all the new, it says kits start at $199, and it can be bought at www.theresultsarein.com. The kits include materials to collect DNA samples, instructions, and materials to send the samples back to the lab. The manufacturer said results are available in as little as 1 to 2 business days, and tests have over 99.99% accuracy. What lab is doing this and everything? Povich hosted his own show conducting DNA testing for 31 years. 31 years this motherfucker was on the air. Now, let's go with 31 years. You know what that means? That means 31. Three generations of Maury grew up watching Maury Povich. Three generations, man. I think I got that right. If 10 years is a generation. The show ran from 1991 to 2022. I'm surprised. Really? I didn't know it went into 2022. During which he became known phrases such as, you're not the father, and the results are in. So this guy is capitalizing on a DNA thing. Hey, I didn't know Jerry Springer died of pancreatic cancer. I didn't know that. Huh. Interesting. The at-home test kit came about once his business manager approached him with the idea. Povich worked with the company making the test kits DNA Diagnostic Center for over 20 years on his show. We can do a home paternity test. That's going to be great. That's going to be nice. I can see it now. All you teenagers, your lives are going to be ruined because your girlfriend is going to get a DNA test. You don't even have to go to a lab. They send it to the lab, if you trust the lab, and then they send it back to you, and she's going to give you the results. Oh, Jesus, man. What could happen? What could happen? They're promoting it as, we can do a home paternity test, send those tests to DNA Diagnostic Center, the same company, and within 2 days, 3 days, they can have the result, and they send it back, and it's all done from your home, he said. Povich was excited about the opportunity. Of course you are. You're the devil's bitch. Because it's his experience. His DNA testing plagues many families. It does plague many families, especially your fathers who may not want to be involved. Thank you, Maury Povich. Oftentimes, children end up with the wrong birth fathers, and Povich sees this as an opportunity to help correct it. You don't see this as a... Let me tell you, Povich doesn't care about those kids. He doesn't care about any of that bullshit. You know, just talking about this motherfucker, man, pisses me off. If you never seen Maury Povich, I don't know how much time I have because I got a lot to cover. Here's a little bit of Maury. Just in case you don't just in case you're not familiar with Maury Povich, listen to the hoops. We're not going to play all of it. Okay, here's one. Listen to the hoops that the soul that he must catch. He's a soul catcher. Before, and then they show the baby, and the baby's there. They're so innocent, baby. That he has to, you have to be put on the air, and the hoops that you have to jump through, the disgusting thing you have to jump through to get the test. Here it is. Here's a little bit of Maury.
When it comes to 8-month-old Wyatt, Kiari, you are not...
The woman runs off the stage humiliated. The guy's doing bad flicks and giving everybody high five in the audience. Maury's just sitting there laughing. Meanwhile, she's in the back crying. Her mother's kind of consoling her. And this is the soul motherfucker who's destroying so many people's lives. That's too soon. This guy, there's a place in hell for this motherfucker. There's really a place in hell. A little bit more.
Allegra says when she told her ex-boyfriend, William, that she was pregnant with her now 3-year-old son, Jeremiah, look at him. William rubbed her belly, took her to the doctor's appointments. In fact, this is a family portrait they took when they were a happy family. Look at that.
Look at this. This boy looks just like this man. And now you want to sit here and say he's not yours 3 years later? I can't do this by myself.
You know what he said?
What do you say, Mark?
This is what he said, Allegra.
This is one disgusting man, and he shows a picture of the little baby, and the baby doesn't know what's going on, and the clapping kind of bother him. The grandmother's bouncing the baby, and this is national TV, and this dude, man, this soulless, spineless piece of shit who is now putting his name on a DNA test. This is who the devil really looks like. Let me, a little bit more.
And I'm not kidding you. This is what he told my producers.
What?
He says the first time he was with you, and you sat in his lap, and he felt your tummy. He felt you were pregnant. But
whatever. I got 5 kids. I look good. Of course I'm going to have a tummy. Look at me. Look at me.
Here's the sad news. I saw that family picture we just showed.
Yeah.
Your son talks to that picture.
All the time. Marty, he said, I want my dad. Look, my dad, what can I do about that? I'm not dad. Daddy needs to be a dad and raise his kids.
You know, sometimes I could get misunderstood. I love you, Laverne. I love you, Vernie. I love you. Sometimes I could be misunderstood because I'm going to get misunderstood again. But if you watch Maury Povich, 90% of people on that show, you know what I'm about to say, are uneducated African-American desperate women. And men who are not accountable. And this is what the world is seeing. This is what the world is seeing. They're seeing us. They're seeing us being not responsible, not accountable, that we're uneducated, that we didn't go to school. The fathers, the men don't really care. We're putting it in everywhere like we're animals. The women are opening their legs like they're little animals, and they don't even know who the father is because you have to get a DNA. And here comes a shiny white angel, Maury Povich, to save the day. And to be fair, when I looked at Springer, and I only saw Springer a couple of times, they were redneck hillbilly white people. Just to be fair, but what kind of person? have to have a DNA test to say that's my baby, that you go to sleep with somebody and the way you think of them, and she's pregnant and everything, you can't even do it. You're thinking, well, you're a whore. It's not my kid. And the guy will think, or the woman will think, you just don't want the responsibility. Why would you do that? We have this on this show all the time. I'm looking at the time. We have this show all the time. That I hear accidents, and I hear this, and I have this. And I said, and I still say this, it's the reason, and I'm going to get in trouble again, but you got to listen to what I'm saying. If I was a creature, and I'm saying this, like, let's say a UFO landed. Let's say a UFO landed. You know, and they see me, and they go, "Oh, what a hunk of man meat!" And then they say, "You know, I want that man meat. I'm going to put my little tentacles up your ass, and then I'm going to impregnate you because they're UFOs. You know, they got that strong UFO sperm. You know what I'm saying? Those little fishies can swim up an asshole." Now, I'm just trying to say to you, why would you open your legs up to a no good for nothing son of a bitch that you know that you can bear a life, that you are with that person for the rest of your life? Why would you do that? I still can't comprehend that. I still can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend a woman says, you know what, I'm going to take a chance, or I'm going to roll the dice, and maybe I won't get pregnant, but this is not the guy I want to be with. Maybe you just want to have a one-night stand. I don't care. Maybe you just want the dick for the night. I don't care. Dial www.dick for the night. I don't care. But even if you want a dick for the night, why are you not being protected? This drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. If you use birth control, you cannot get pregnant. Therefore, he cannot abuse you or have you, or this man's not going to be in your life. And you don't want this fool in your life anyway. So why are you doing this? And we have this thing that's going on right now. And there's my stutter. We have this thing that's going on right now with Planned Parenthood and Roe versus Wade and everything. And women are saying it's not just abortion, it's health care. And the religious people are going, you're killing the baby. Shut up, religious people. Again, I'm on the side of civil rights, and it's a woman's right in the United States of America, and she can use Planned Parenthood for just, it doesn't mean just for abortion. Planned Parenthood has other causes for women's health. And what I have the news for you religious fucks is, once you let Jesus, you're not Jesus, you are not God, and you are a mere mortal, well, you're a fucked up mortal, but you're a mere mortal who have no powers of judgment. So why don't you let, so instead of saying you're killing a baby and it's our right to kill babies, you're not going to kill a baby, why don't you let God decide this? Why don't you let Jesus decide the judgment and not you? It gives you no right to decide what a woman does with her body. So shut the fuck up. Let me go back to Maury here. Here we go. And this is how bad this is. So I went with the African-American part. I went to all this other part. So you have to sell your soul to get to the DNA. And he's going to humiliate you and make it worthwhile and then bring you down. This is the devil, man. This is the devil. And he looks like Maury Povich.
William, see him?
William says in another state with another on girlfriend. But you know what? Oh, baby, you will be paying child support. Can I get my money?
Now, Allegra, here's the other side of it. You've been thrown out of your home.
Oh, Maury, let me tell you, that is not even a half of it. We've been homeless for his birthday. We had to beg people, baby, a dollar balloon and dollar toys. My son didn't even have a cake for his birthday this year. And that hurt because I'm not the one that laid down by myself to have him.
Hear the crowd? It's fun and games, man. Just fun and games with people's lives. Yeah, sister. Sing us this preach. Yeah, I was homeless for his birthday. Maury had to bring that up. So if you want to hear lives being destroyed, hey, the devil's on. Not me, the other devil. It's on right now, and his name is Maury. I just want to tell you just how soulless this person is, this piece of shit who destroyed people's lives for entertainment. And here it is in real time. I guess you forgot about what he really does.
So, you're without any support. I understand you want to be a hairdresser, right?
Yes,
you want to be a hairdresser. You love to do hair.
Yes.
But you don't have a license. Right?
No license. I can't do it when I don't have to take care of him all the time.
Okay,
I can't even go to school.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We'll send you to school.
Thank you.
This is what William had to say. Why?
When I first met Allegra at the club, my whole family said stay away from her. They said...
Yeah, we're going to send you to school, but first let's destroy you. So when you go to school, people are going to know about you. You're no good for nothing, whore. But that's okay. We're going to see you there. But before we do, let's hear a word from the angry father.
And she was the type of girl to land me on Maury.
We've been homeless for his birthday. We had to beg people to baby a dollar balloon and dollar toys. My son didn't even have a cake for his birthday this year. And that hurt. Because I'm not the one that laid down by myself to have him.
You're the one that opened up your legs, bitch. You're the only one that opened up your leg, bitch. You got 5 kids. How many fathers is that? Shut the fuck up. Grow up. Get educated. Close your legs. And maybe pick a decent man and feel better about yourself. I don't feel sorry for that piece of shit either. But I'm not judging. I'm not judging. Here we go.
So, you're without any support. I understand you want to be a hairdresser, right?
Yes,
you want to be a hairdresser. You love to do hair.
Yes.
But you don't have a license, right?
No license. I can't do it when I don't have to take care of him all the time.
Okay.
I can't even go to school.
Okay. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We'll send you to school.
When I first met Allegra at the club, my whole family said stay away from her. They said she was the type of girl to land me on Maury. 3 years, 9 months later, here I am. When I asked Allegra to sit on my lap, I put my arms around her and I felt a pud. At first I thought she was fat, but now I think she was pregnant. She swears this kid is mine, but she was seeing another guy before me. And when that baby came out, it looked just like him. Allegra is struggling, but she wouldn't be going through this if she knew who her baby daddy was. I am not a sucker, and the test is going to prove it.
Here's William.
Daddy,
William, come on out.
Now she wants to fight William, who's coming on this stage. The audience is already bullied. They haven't even heard the man's story. They haven't heard anything. And this is what we have on social media right now, when women say this, and now the men are demons and devils. He worked up the audience, and he has to hold her back because she wants to fight like a Springer. And the baby's sitting about maybe 2 feet from her with grandma. Nigga, please. Here we go.
Okay, all right. You're confident this is not your child?
Yes, I'm 100%
no,
sure this is not my
daughter.
You don't even look like me.
Everyone, yours and
but
mine,
William,
you my stomach
William,
every night.
When she was pregnant, William, you were there, right?
Yes, I was.
When he was born, you were there?
Yes, also.
So what happened?
My name's not even on the birth certificate.
Because
Maury,
you're
a
surrogate. Why would I put your name on the birth certificate?
Mundaro Kong makes dance great again. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to say again, because they never were, and they're complicated. See, with Mundaro...
Hey, you're trying to play me out. You know I was there. You know I was there for
you.
Yeah,
you was there, but
yeah,
you ain't there
yeah,
now.
Whatever.
I need you there now.
Okay.
Right by now.
What about...
Right now.
Whatever, man.
Right now.
Right.
Because you know what? When Mundaro say, you are the father, hey, can I get my child support?
Yeah. Wait. You think she was pregnant?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah, because, Lori, when I did the do, the baby's supposed to have been due in October, the same as my birthday.
Why September,
is his birthday
September,
in October?
September.
September.
Get
August.
It right. Get
August.
It right. Yeah, because he was a priest.
He was in labor a whole month
with him.
Well, guess what? We're going to find out right now. If this is your child,
what?
You'll stand up to your responsibilities.
Yeah, right? Because you know what? I'm taking that paper straight down to Family and Children's Service. I didn't need my child
of 3-year-old Jeremiah. William, you are nuts. Glad to help you find out who the father is if you want us, all right? We'll be glad to. We'll think back and find out who it is. She apologized, William.
I accept your apology.
Very good. Thank you. By the way, we'll also have a birthday cake. Thank you. Everyone, this is Stacy. Now, Stacy is here, hell-bent on proving to a man named...
You know the ending. You are not the father. Even Stacy's thing. That's the name of the show, You Are Not the Father. You embarrass yourself. You humiliated yourself. The whole nation knows you're a whore. You don't even know who the father of your baby is. How do you feel about yourself? 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. Listen, I'll tell you what. I'll stop doing it. I'm going to put you on hold. If you want to talk to me, because they got a lot of 111s, if you want to talk to me, hit the number 1 on your dial on your phone. It'll raise a little hand, and then I'll come to you. Sometimes the people are at work and everything, and I can't leave their mic open. So if you come in the studio, just hit the number 1 on your dial, and the little hand will rise up in the studio, and I'll open up your mic. Unless it's Mr. Solution, but here we go. They'll take me off my what I want to do. So you get the idea. So now Maury has a DNA test called, the results are in. You are not the father. Can I capitalize on that? There you go. Satan at his best. Look at that. Satan at his best. So that brings us to 23andMe. 23andMe. Do you think you're safe? I think we're going to have time for the, let me see. Maybe we won't. I'm going to tell you. So it says right there, can law enforcement use this for their own goal? The short answer, it even says here, no, they can't. There's a deal. Oh, they can't? Oh, okay. They can't use it. Then in the same breath, I get this. Well, let me tell you about the guy's birthday first. It was an innocent enough request. His son wanted a 23andMe DNA test. I don't know why a son wanted a 23andMe DNA. That must be a warning sign in your home when your son wants a DNA test. What kind of fucked up parents you must be. But he wanted it for his birthday. But the result revealed a hidden secret. That's what it says. That's the title. It all started on his son's 20th birthday, okay? Give me the story. It all started on his son's 20th birthday when he asked Taylor to get him a 23andMe test kit. I don't know who Taylor is, but anyway. Intrigued by his own experience with the test and the surprisingly family connections it had revealed, Taylor obliged. I don't know who Taylor is. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't think I'm missing anything. It starts like that. Okay. Little did he know that this innocent request would lead to a heart-wrenching discovery. I hope it's not one of those stupid stories that go on and on and on and eventually tell you to buy something. About 6 weeks later, his son called him, his voice filled with despair, revealing the devastating truth. Taylor wasn't the biological father. Okay, so what? Initially, Taylor found it hard to believe. He tried to console his son, attempting to calm him down. However, the next day, during their usual weekly lunch, his son presented irrefutable evidence. The truth was undeniable that they are not biologically related, and his son's biological father was a complete stranger to them both. Despite the revelation, Taylor reassured his son that their bond remained unbreakable, assuring him that he would always be his dad. His son pleaded with him not to confront his mother about knowing the truth. Now, his son saying, please don't tell mom I know the truth. Please don't tell mom I know the truth that she's a whore. Please don't tell mom I know that, no, this is me talking. Please don't tell mom I know the truth that she put you as my father and she knew it. We go back to the DNA 123 and me. That's just one example. Here's another example. I already told you, it's like, how safe is it when you morons go up there and want to define the history or whatever, and it means shit. Even if you found out that your uncle was King George, you still live in a box in Walmart. He ain't helping you. Means nothing. So what I was really concerned about, can law enforcement going with the test, and I saw the thing on Law and Order, going with the test, how can, can law enforcement get your DNA from one of these companies and use it to solve a crime? They say no, but in the same breath, here we go, 10 crimes solved by DNA ancestry companies. Now, this is interesting. How would you like to take a DNA and find out that you're related to one of the serial killers, Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, a serial killer, a well-known serial killer, in fact. Maybe your aunt, her real name is Helter Skelter. Who knows? How dangerous is this? Well, these are 10 crimes solved by DNA ancestry companies. These are crimes. Remember, they said they don't use this DNA for any law enforcement thing. But these are 10 crimes that were solved by DNA. How did they get the DNA? I'm going to go by it really quickly, but how did they get the DNA? They don't even have them in alphabetical order. Oh, they do, huh? Okay. I'll do it really quickly. So you have to think, are you stupid? Are you stupid? Are they going to use my DNA? There's been things where people have, I even saw a movie, I don't know, I'm a movie buff. Somebody took the DNA of somebody else and put it as a crime scene. I don't know. You got to remember, humans are working in labs and everything. You think they're ethical? There's stories, and it was not too long ago, 2 weeks ago, that this fucker started jacking off and impregnating women who are going to try to get this, they went to a medical lab to get fertilization, and they thought they were going to a donor. He was the one who was jacking off and impregnating these women, and he was a doctor. They're human beings, man. They're human beings. Oh, there she is. Hello, sexy lady. Welcome back, Patty.
Hi.
Man, look at that. Little patty cakes. Like those cakes.
So
I
heard that people have been finding out when they're racist as hell that they have black people in the family with those tests.
Yeah. Well, there's a theory that everybody came from Africa, so everybody has some black in them. Do you have any black in you, Pat? Do you ever date a black guy?
No. No, I'm German as they get.
German as you get. Well, you need a little black in you. You know what I'm saying, girl?
Well, you'd have to come here and
yeah.
confront me with that idea.
I'm going to have to, but knowing me, I will. I will. As soon as you get that surgery, it's like, happy birthday, baby. Little jungle love, Pat. I'll tell you how we do it. I'll tell you, baby. Once you, you know what they say, once you try and blank, you won't go back. You know what I mean?
Is that true?
That is true. I haven't been back since. Yeah. It's true. It's true. If you don't believe me, I can verify it. Listen to this. It's true. I'll tell you why. Pat, here's the song. I think you'll like it. Go, Pat. Yeah. Jungle love, Pat. That's what it is. I even got references.
I see.
Yes. There you go. All right. Let me go to 111 one more time. 111, you're live on the air. 111. Nope. Okay, you got to do what they got to do. Sometimes they just listen. Just hit the little one. And it'll raise a little hand in the studio. I know you want to talk. All right, so here we go. So people are saying, Brian, I said, yeah. Can they use my DNA? Maybe there's something in my family. Maybe it's just not me, but it might be my uncle. They could use the DNA, and they could charge him with a crime. Well,
no.
the real answer is no. The law enforcement cannot use your DNA. But then again, why am I reading 10 crimes solved by a DNA ancestry companies? Why am I reading that? Here we go. This guy, his name is the Golden State Killer. He's the Golden State Killer. And what is the most likely famous cases of DNA from an ancestry site being used to solve a crime? The infamous Golden State Killer. He was caught in 2018, more than 30 years after he stopped a spree of rapes and murders, then left 13 victims dead and 50 raped. 50.
My goodness.
During his original
busy
crime
boy.
Spree, the Golden... Yeah, he was... That Viagra, man, I'm telling you, it really works. You have that four-hour business going on. So here we go. In the hand of a rapist, Viagra could be a very dangerous thing. It's a weapon. In what is likely to be most famous cases of the DNA ancestry is being used to solve a crime, I already read that. During his original crime spree, the Golden State Killer was known by several names, including the original Night Stalker, the Brazilian Ransacker, and the East Area Rapist. It wasn't until 2001
really?
That the DNA evidence, yeah. I mean, he started raping way back, but the DNA evidence was used to confirm all three of those criminals were the same guy who had originally been committing his acts in 1970 and the 80s. And if you ask any law enforcement, ask, well, where's my DNA kit, they're going to tell you they're behind. Some of these people, we did a story on this. There are some DNA kits, rape kits. Let's just call it rape kits. Forget the DNA. There's some rape kits that's in the police department for 3 years, and they haven't even viewed them yet. That's how backed up they are.
Yeah.
We did a story on that. So if you did a rape kit and you're still waiting, and meanwhile it's 2 years, 3 years, that's not uncommon. This is why they're going to do the short. And in 2018, the law enforcement took the novel step. Here we go. In 2018, law enforcement took the novel step of looking into genealogically. I can't. Pat, help me out.
Genealogically.
In your genes. Genealogy. Logic. Whatever. You don't need that word. Nobody uses it anyway. And to define the match, they wanted to find a match of the DNA they had on file using the databases of generic material uploaded by people who were just interested in finding out. They were using the databases of genetic material uploaded by people who were just interested in finding out about their family history. They were using this. They were able to score some partial matches. That meant people who were, there's that word again, you don't need to know it.
Genealogically connected.
Yeah, what she said. Related to the killer and had used the services. So a family tree was made to pinpoint the killer that consists of 1,000 people. The tree was then trimmed by getting rid of people who were the wrong age or lived in the wrong part of the world at the time of the deaths. In time, only one name was left on the list, Joseph James D'Angelo. He was a former police officer, but for Christ's sake. And he was charged with multiple murders. He took a plea to avoid the death penalty at the age of 70. You can avoid the death penalty? Okay. State killer was given 12 life sentences. There you go. You don't believe me? Here's another case. I'll let them tell you. Tripping me up with names we don't use. Here we go. Listen to this.
Authorities called off their search of the area. Douglas County Sheriff's officers and investigators. As snow began to fall in the field where the body of young Helen Pacinski was found, obliterating any clues, authorities called off their search of the area. Douglas County Sheriff's officers and investigators from the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, aided by volunteers from the Arapahoe County Search and Rescue Unit, spent much of the morning combing the area, hoping to turn up something to lead them to the girl's murderer, but found nothing. Ms. Pacinski's body was found early Thursday. She'd been sexually at the radio. She was last seen Wednesday afternoon when she left work. Sexually assaulted and stabbed. A college student working as an intern in the news department at KHOW Radio, she was last seen Wednesday afternoon when she left work. Inglewood police, also in on the case, have been concentrating their efforts near this bus stop on South Broadway. It's believed that Ms. Pacinski got off her bus after work here Wednesday night. She was abducted sometime after that. They've been talking with people in the area looking for some clue, but so far nothing. And they're afraid if they don't find something soon, they may not find anything at all.
First 48 hours, I'd say, are probably very critical in terms of the kinds of information that you receive and the amount of it may very well be just that information which will identify a suspect or identify an individual who was in the area. It's kind of difficult. I guess, you might try to liken it to anyone who's asked to say, well, what did you see around noon 2 days ago? And that's a very difficult thing to try to remember. So we make as many contacts as we can immediately after a thing like this in an effort to try to talk with people when their memories are still in focus and that they can remember substantial information.
The radio station where Ms. Pasinski worked has offered a reward for information leading to the conviction of her killer. And law enforcement officers are asking that anyone with any information call the Colorado Bureau of Investigation at 759-1100. Kevin Roberts, 9 News.
There they go. That was it. Nothing more. Well, anyway, next time anyone saw her, her body was discovered in a field. She had been raped and stabbed to death. The police were not able to follow up on many leads and had no one, and no one was ever arrested for the crime. Not until many years later. Jesse Still made use of the site 23andMe in 2018 in an effort to learn more about her family tree. Like so many other people have, what she couldn't have known at the time was that she was tipping off the police to what happened to Helene Perinsky 40 years prior. Steele's DNA was flagged by law enforcement. It shared some of the DNA with the genetic material on file for the murder. Not Steele's herself, of course, but a family member. Steele turns out to be the cousin of Helen Perinsky's killer.
Holy.
Ironically, I know, right? So it's like, you ignorant motherfuckers, it may not be you, but as soon as you can do this 23andMe, they will take that, they can flag that, and they can get your uncle. Now, I'm not saying hide to murderers. I'm not saying hide to serial killers. I'm not saying hide to rapists. I'm just saying that your DNA is being used without your consent. This is what I'm saying. If they would have came to her and said, ma'am, you know, your DNA was flagged or something, to let her know, can they use it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what I'm saying.
I have news for you, Brian.
Yeah.
But every baby that's been born in the last 20 years, they've taken DNA samples.
Really? I didn't know that.
Every surgery. Oh, yeah, there's DNA samples from everybody. By another 5-6 years, there'll be nobody without DNA samples.
Wow. Wow.
So the government's going to have more control than ever.
No kidding. Big Brother, man, grew into Uncle Sam because, wow, here we go. So, and thank you for that. Somehow, to this, someone says she knew the killer. The killer had been caught thanks to the DNA from a genealogy site. Genealogy? Whatever. And that's it. With Steele's help, law enforcement built a family tree and came up with James Clanton, a relative she didn't even know she had. They arrested the motherfucker 40 years later. Well, here's another one. Don't listen to me. Listen to this fool.
These days, home DNA tests are a big seller. They give us a chance to find out who we are, genetically speaking.
That's a lie.
Shared property that could help solve a crime. For the first time, the Cobb County DA's office said shared property that could help solve a crime. For the first time, the Cobb
shared
County
property.
DA's office are, genetically speaking, but that valuable information can become shared property that could help solve a crime. For the first time, the Cobb County DA's office says it solved 3 rape cold cases with genetic genealogy. Natisha Lance is here with more on how investigators actually crack these cases, Natisha.
Well, Aisha, really interesting how they were able to do this. So DNA from 3 crime scenes all linked back to 1 attacker. Now, from there, the case went cold until new technology revealed the suspect through a very distant relative. 3 20-year-old Cobb County rape cases finally cracked.
I have never been so elated and so excited. It was finally that I knew I could close a chapter to my life.
In 1999, Nicole Ebiscotti DeLappi was raped in her condo off Windy Hill Road in Cobb County. She was the first of 3 women over 4 months in a 3-mile radius raped by the same man, only known by his DNA.
If he wouldn't have believed that I was dead, it would have continued until I was.
For 2 decades, she's carried the burden of what she calls the worst day of her life. Cobb County investigators never gave up on the case. In 2018, a $10,000 grant was approved to do DNA genealogy testing. The test identified the suspect's relatives from public databases, one going back more than 140 years.
It was someone from 1877, and they build the tree forward to see if we have a line, potentially, of someone that could match to our suspect.
And investigators finally had a name, Lorenzo Novoa Williams of Arkansas.
I was personally amazed.
Investigators tracked him down in Arkansas to ask questions about the crimes and get a new DNA swab. But the 20-year victory became bittersweet.
His wife had reported him missing that morning, and he was found deceased later in the day.
For Nicole, it's an ending to a long chapter.
For me, this is a great bittersweet way to end it, knowing that he has taken his life, and he took his life under kind of a guilt, which is completely fine by me.
The Cobb County DA office hopes to be able to use this technology again in the future, but right now it's really expensive, which is why the grant was necessary. Now, we must emphasize this connection was made through a public DNA site, not one that you would buy through 23andMe or Ancestry.com.
There you go. Here we go. Because of time, how much time do I have? Because I wanted to talk about the angels. Damn, I only don't have that much time. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. You're live on the air with Brian Hammers Jackson and Matt Nicholson Pat. You have your hand up. Hello.
Man, they got me, man.
You know what? I'm glad you talked. Hey, Sarge, how you doing? If anybody would
they
know about
me,
you,
man.
They got you. What do you mean they got you?
Yeah, they got me. You know, before I was aware of all the ramifications of this, I was curious about my genetic ancestry. We had a discussion about genes. I said, okay, let me do it. So, and I decided not to go to just one, because I wanted to
right.
Any other examination would agree with each other. So I went to three different sites. One being
right.
23andMe, another being CRI genetic. And the other being Ancestry.
Yeah.
And amazingly, they all agreed with each other. They differed by percentages of the variant, but not that much. And only one had one genetic database that the others didn't have, and that was Finland. I had 2% Finnish ancestry from one deal. But other than that, they were all pretty much the same. So I said, okay. Maybe there's something to this. But look, man, DNA evidentially is considered to be in the same category as a fingerprint. And
yes.
You can obtain that evidence under any circumstances that you can obtain a fingerprint.
Right.
If your DNA is in a genetic database, then and law enforcement has a reason to believe that your DNA is implicated in some sort of crime or needed for some investigation, they can go get a subpoena for it, and just like they can anything else. It's just another bit of evidence.
Well,
and look, every person in the armed forces today is required, they are obligated to submit a genetic sample. They don't have a choice.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, just like they have to get their fingerprints.
Either.
I mean, just like that. That's why they don't think anyone in the future is going to be an unidentified, unknown soldier.
But your fingerprint
they have everybody's
is
DNA.
Not, I understand, but your fingerprint does not include your whole family unit, your uncle, your sister, your cousin, and this and this and this, and who you're related to. A fingerprint is only for you. The problem that I have here is that when you do your this 23andMe, that it can implicate. Am I even using a word? I got to get some sleep. But it can reach out to cousins and second cousins and aunts and uncles
yes,
and mothers and fathers
true.
And invade
that's
their
true.
Privacy, which they did not want to have. And
that's
and
true.
And they said it here, Sarge. They says, and I put in the thing, can law enforcement use my 23andMe? The big answer says no. A 23andMe spokesman added that the company has never given customer information to law enforcement officials. That's a lie. And that it doesn't allow third-party access.
If they get a subpoena for it, yes, they'll have to give it up. But this
exactly.
never been tested before the court. If this is something that will have to go to the court to see the extent to which genetic data can be utilized, because there is no precedent on it forbidding it as yet.
Mm. Interesting.
So
exactly.
What you're talking about, the extent of it, is unbroken legal ground. I could see somebody going before the court and say the intrusive nature of the extent of DNA genetic information means that it has to be very narrowly construed to only the immediate principle, much as a fingerprint is.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't been held, courts ain't held that to be true yet.
Right, right. I can read the horror stories here, and I won't do it, because basically you verified it. They can get it with a warrant, like a fingerprint. They can get it with a warrant.
Or a subpoena, yeah. Right.
Or a subpoena, I'm sorry. And same thing with your cell phone. You think your cell phone is private and the data in your cell phone is private? No. They can go right into the communication companies where you're and they can get that information. Who you text, who you talk to.
What about those Alexa things in the home? Holy
that
crap.
Too. Oh, my God. I know, right?
Well, I ain't got none of that stuff.
Me either.
You lucky son of a bitch. I mean, I got this smart TV. And then I remember that you could, yeah, that is stupid. That is stupid. And I remember that you could turn off the voice or you could turn off this and this and this, and I didn't trust it because one time the light was bleak, and I go, we're taking this motherfucker back. You know, the freaky shit that I do behind closed doors, I want nobody to know about this shit. I need to deny that shit. Nobody's going to be listening to that.
But look, even if you don't take a genetic test, though, if you've got a brother or sister who did, you could be implicated in a database.
Exactly. And that was my point, Sarge. Exactly. So when they're saying, so you get some ignorant motherfucker, can the popo get information? No. Yes, they can.
I'm just saying, it's a brave new world, baby. That's a brave new world we're living in right now.
Yes.
And like I said, until somebody gets this case before a court to determine the extent to which the genetic material can be used to implicate you in a crime, right now, we're stuck with this.
And on that note, here you go. Listen to this lady. Thank you, Sarge, and thank you, Pat. Well, listen to this lady. It's only 10 minutes. I'm looking at the time because Sarge, I'm going to take you into a spiritual world with your guardian angel. Trust me, you got one. Especially being
By the way, would you like to hear what my genetic ancestry appears to be?
Let me guess. All right, I would say...
I got three tests, and they all pretty much agree with each other.
European, like you probably have some European, you probably have some European blood in you. But go ahead, let me hear it, Sarge.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, it's African, it's European, it's Nigerian, Senegalese, Ivory Coast and Ghana, Ireland, Benin and Togo, Cameroon, Congo, and Western Bantu people, Germanic Europe, Wales, France, England and Northwestern Europe, Mali, and Scotland. Now, I am literally a tree. The only thing that's eliminated here is Asiatic ancestry.
That's true.
But I've got pretty much all of the rest of this stuff in there. And remember, the only differentiation between them was percentages. They all came up with the same region, all of them.
Right. Wow.
Well, let me explain something to you. This is what I mean when I say, and I'm only speaking for Sarge, because I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be in the United States as a natural-born citizen of the United States. I benefited from slavery. How in the hell am I supposed to get reparations? It's literally true. Me, as an individual, not my ancestors, but me. I benefited from slavery. How am I supposed to ask for reparations?
Wow. Well, Sarge, with all those different
How else could I exist, Brian? How else would it be possible for me to have this physical a form that I have now?
I don't know, but all I'm saying is with all that kind
of... All them people in my ancestral line had to get together however they got together. You cut out any one of them, I don't exist.
That is true.
Okay, so I benefited from slavery. End of story for me. It would be intellectually dishonest for me to claim I was harmed by slavery when I literally wouldn't exist were it not for slavery.
I don't know if you want to go that far, but if you want to put a shiny light on
you
it,
you don't
okay.
have to go that far. That's why I'm here.
You are now driving the bus. You are now driving the
train. I'm trying to understand how it's possible for me to deny that I benefited from slavery, which the only way I could exist was for everyone in my ancestral line to get together however they got together. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter
wow.
for purposes of me existing.
True, but wow. I have no argument against that. I have no debate. I mean, you're putting a
there
nice spin on slavery.
It's just a matter of scientific fact. There's no getting around it.
Right. Well, you know, but you're right. You're right with the DNA, and this is coming from a former police officer, too. So when they tell you, can law enforcement, I mean, if you have some shady going on, if your brother's into drugs or your uncle got, you know, served some time or whatever, as soon as you go to that 23andMe, man, and there's some unsolved crimes that, you know, they're going to tack on another 10, 15 years, just saying. Here we go. This guy's the cop rapist. They got him on a 23andMe. This is another one. The murder of Lori Ann Smith. They couldn't solve it. This was back in 97. She was a 28-year-old woman, and she was discovered in her own room by her parents. She had been shot to death, and there were no signs of forced entry in the home. Police had very little to go on. Thanks to the DNA, they found out who it was. She had to fight off her attacker. And bottom line, Jerry Lee, a correction worker was the killer. And how he knew the victim of or nature of the crime has not been fully revealed. There's another one, a chameleon. His name is Curtis Kimball. Same thing. He was a murderer. Same thing. DNA. He was, in fact, they describe him as a prolific serial killer of women and children for years. This son of a bitch, man. See, if Sarge was still on duty, Charge would have got this guy. It would be no doubt he would be on the duty. This guy, Kimball, whose name is actually Terry Peter Rasmussen, he had previously served time for child abandonment and other crimes. What no one knew at the time was that he had a host of aliases and had been a prolific serial killer of women and children for years. This led law enforcement to calling him the Chameleon. They got his ass. They were able to connect the man who abandoned a 5-year-old daughter. Started off with a 5-year-old daughter abandonment in the 80s. And then they linked him to the murders, the unsolved murders, and killed children,
holy
too.
Holy.
Well, I got news for you, Brian. I can guarantee you that every law enforcement agency in the United States today, when they have genetic material to work with, they are combing mm-hmm. through public databases almost as a matter of routine.
Cold cases, huh? I hear you.
That means what they're doing. I mean, the public, like I said, public databases are just that. That means the armed forces is one of them, and every single member of the armed forces has to give a DNA sample. That's how they identify your remains now. If you're missing in action and they find them, they got your DNA on file so they can match you and they can declare you're not. There's not going to be any more unknown folks.
Yeah, I saw that episode on CSI Vegas 2 days ago, where this woman.
Yeah,
basically you're right. I now have to say that the episode. I mean, when I, you know, people laugh. Oh, there's Brian looking at TV. You know, these people. When you hear these stories like Law and Order or whatever, they come from somewhere. They come from somewhere, and they're ripped out of the headlines. And you're right. And they identified this woman, this little kid who was killed 40 years ago. And they found out who was the killer. And here's another son of a bitch. How bad you have to be, how bad a motherfucker are you that you have to spend 897 years in prison? 897 years. This is what they gave the guy, 897 years in prison. With good behavior, he should be out in about 100 years. Anywho, here it is. I mean, come on. Listen to this.
They
want to
make sure that if he gets resurrected 8 or more times, that he's still out to stay in jail.
They're still going to kill the motherfucker. You're right.
Yep.
If you believe in reincarnation, we're still going to get you. You were waiting for you, son of a bitch. But here's
that's
the
right.
story, I think. I like that, Sarge. Here it is.
He'll now spend 897 years to life behind bars. And the judge handed the maximum requested sentence to Roy Waller, the convicted NorCal rapist. He'll now spend 897 years to life behind bars.
To life?
During the sentencing, the judge even going so far as to flat out call Waller a liar. It was a very cathartic moment for Waller's victims, who were also able to read their impact statements directly to Waller, describing years of pain, suffering, and fear that he caused them. They also said they now feel released, empowered, and ready to take on the next phases of their lives. You'll remember Roy Charles Waller, the NorCal rapist, was accused and is now convicted of assaulting 9 women in 6 California counties between 1991 and 2006, a 15-year span. Interestingly, even after all these proceedings and all the DNA evidence, Waller continues to claim his innocence.
He knows that he's been proven to be the NorCal rapist. And even though he won't admit, even though he won't apologize, even though he won't show some remorse, he will know what the jury has said.
After the sentencing, Waller's own attorney said it was the DNA evidence that they just couldn't overcome. He says they'll continue to appeal Waller's conviction. After court, Nicole Ernest Pate, one of the survivors of Waller's horrific crimes, said that she wanted to reach out and speak to all the other victims of sexual assault out there. She wants them to know that despite what society says, they have nothing to be ashamed of. She says the only people that need to feel shame are the perpetrators. And the judge handed them.
There you go. We can go on and on and on.
Well, look, Brian, okay, you detail all of the potential hazards of this, and it's the truth. And it wouldn't matter in my case anyway, because my brothers and sisters have run a DNA test, too. And they got pretty much the same results I did.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter. But look, what are the benefits for it for me? Well, here's one of them. I've gotten in touch with several first cousins and second and third cousins I lost contact with or I didn't even know existed. And we have nice correspondence, and I met a couple of them. Very nice. I can see now that, you know, humanity really is kind of mongrelized. And I love every square centimeter of myself. So that means not only do I love the Cameroonian and Congo part of myself, I love the Irish part of myself and the French part of myself and the German part of myself too. And the Scottish part of myself. That's all me. And it's really, it's enlightening to know that. So, yeah, there's downsides, but there's some upsides. There's some upsides from it, too.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm just saying that when you get these people, I mean, I'm not saying I'm against it. I go in knowing that when people says your privacy or there is no privacy. Shut. You know, you get these morons on Facebook. They're hearing my privacy. Shut up. You had to fill in that little thing before you even sign up for Facebook. How old are you? What did it is? What's your name? What name you want to use? You already gave them your privacy as soon as you signed up. We have no more privacy. We got none.
Yeah.
If you ever have a telemarketer call your house, boom, your privacy is done. You got no privacy. I've had this motherfucker call me, and they became my friend. It's like they thought I was ready to pick you. They called me yesterday. I picked up the phone. Hello? Hey, Brian. I'm thinking of somebody in my past. I didn't recognize the voice, and I wanted to look like an idiot. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, Brian? How you doing? I go, I'm doing good. Well, Brian, I want to sell you this pool, this warranty on your car. What? You motherfucker. So, if you ever had a telemarketer, if you ever had some spam email, if you ever had some junk mail come to your house, guess what? Your privacy is already blown.
Yeah.
If you ever signed up for a credit card, go ahead, Sarge.
Well, look, I agree with you, Brian. I mean, absolutely, information is key. You should have all the information you can regarding any venture you undertake. But if, when it comes to this sort of thing, if you don't want to be a genetic database, you better tell your sibling not to take you too.
Yeah, I know.
Because you ain't got no choice if they do.
But sometimes you don't know that they're up to no good. You know, I don't know what my second cousin is up to.
I don't mean they're up to no good just because they have a DNA test, does it?
You know, I teased this, and
I mean that mitochondrial DNA, man, that's a bitch, you know.
I know.
Ain't no getting around it, man.
I know. I don't know. Well, I'm lucky because of the girl, the Russian girl who had my kid, she flushed it down the toilet, so I have no alimony to pay. So I'm good.
Oh, well. I don't want to know, Brad. I don't want to know. Don't.
You don't want to know. I got some
no,
demons.
No, I don't
want to
know. I don't want to know.
No, you don't. You're too nice a guy. It's just some demons that I carry. It's the cross that I bear.
Well, at least you didn't do it. You said the Russian girl flushed her baby down the toilet.
She did? And you know, so okay, when she said
you
it,
you don't bear
too,
any direct responsibility for it unless, of course, you counsel
well,
her.
It was a miscarriage. It wasn't a murder. It was a miscarriage.
Okay, well, hey, things like that happen. Mother Nature does that.
Yeah.
That's just what happened.
Yeah,
nobody to blame.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, you're a father.
Nobody?
Oh, great. When do I get to see my kid? I flushed him down the toilet. What? But there you go. That's how. Happy Father's Day. My kids in the
school. Well, in that case, there's no one to blame. I mean, it's just one of those things.
I know. Only meaty flesh. The only kid I ever have, and there he goes, right down.
But I think we should at least agree, though, it is regrettable. I mean, we do not agree that it is regrettable. Something.
It is.
You know, the ending, the premature ending of an innocent human life is always something regrettable.
Right. That one little arm that fell in the toilet was waving goodbye as it went down the drain. I'm sorry.
The exile.
You know, I tease you guys. I know, I'm despicable. I tease you guys regarding angels earlier in the show, and I got proven.
No.
And I teased it. I tease you guys.
Hey man, no, that's what you call macabre humor, because that's the only way a lot of us can cope with the enormity of
that. That is true. Thank you, Sarge, for seeing that.
The way we would crack on shit in warfare. Guys say
thank
the most
you.
God-awful stuff. Maybe not about the guys they were closest to, but guys they might know maybe peripherally, and they get knocked off. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a coping mechanism.
It is, and that's how
it
I
is.
Cope. I'm inappropriate. I'm inappropriate.
I'm saying, so I understand where you're coming from.
I'm not even going to say that. It's even too sad to say it, and I said something inappropriate. But anyway, I teased you guys about angels and something that blew my mind. This is a segment. So, Sarge, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get another cup of coffee. This is for you, and I hope that you enjoy this, Pat, because you're thinking about a little jungle love. So I'm going to put
Lord.
Yeah, she wants to taste the forbidden fruit.
I confess to being a product of that sort of thing. I got genetic proof of it.
So hang on. We'll be right back. Just give me a minute. If you'd like to come to the studio, the show's almost over. It's 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard. You can talk to the great Sarge and the magnificent Pat. The celebrities are in the room right now. We'll be right back. I'm giving this song. I think Sarge will appreciate this song, and I think Pat's going to start tapping. And, Pat, if you start tapping your foot, you're almost ready for a little jungle love, girl. Here you go. We'll be right back.
One month ago today, I was happy as a lark, but now I go for walks, to the movies, maybe to the park.
What?
I have a seat on the same old bench to watch the children play. You know, tomorrow's their future, but for me, just another day. They all gather around me. They seem to know my name. We laugh, tell a few jokes, but it still doesn't ease my pain. I know I can't hide from a memory, though day after day I've tried. I keep saying, she'll be back, but today again I've lied.
Oh, I see her face everywhere.
Sorry, I'm on the phone. Oh, okay. Okay, I won't let it in. Okay, bye, thank you.
Oh, I hear hot buzz and the cold wind blow in the sweet music on the radio. Have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Why, oh, why did you have to leave and go away? Oh, I've been used to having someone.
There you go, the Shy Lights right there. Another man's heart broken by a lovely lady. Always looking for them, always looking, but when we get them, we don't know how to treat them. There you go.
By the time you bought a little class and put Shy Lights up in here, man, next thing you know, you might even be bringing on the Delphonics or something.
Oh, don't you? You know what's funny? I got enough time. I like the Delphonics, but you hear the latest with what's his name? Oh my God! It would take you back, Sergeant. It's so funny. Well, let me see. Wait a minute. Come on, help me out. Shit! What's his name? I mean, he tries to be like Michael Jackson. He sung a song. God, help me out. Damn it, women love this guy. I got to play this song for you, but I can't remember his song. I Look So Fine. I wonder if I have the thing in this dude. I'll find it, Sarge, but I think you're going to love it because it cracks me up. It reminds me of the Delphonics, and they even have a name that's kind of similar to them, the Delphonics, the Stylistics, the Shy Lights, the Temptations, you know. Shit. What is wrong with my memory? Hey, you know, you guys want to hear something? Here's a really quick thing before we play it. I brag about Melissa, and I brag about Laverne a lot. And I think they're great people. I really do. Special people. And King, I brag. These are the people who've been in the morning crew for years, and we got to know each other. And I know Melissa doesn't like this. Sarge, did you ever hear us play when we were on the show that and you too, Pat, that Howard Stern's group, they pranked us?
No.
Did you ever hear it? Okay. Well, they did. And I didn't know that they pranked us until I went back into Facebook and there was like 6 or 7 people saying, I heard you on Howard Stern. He's been playing his prank from the day that they did it. He's been playing that prank almost all day. Do you want to hear how Howard Stern pranked us on our own show right here? And
yeah.
I think the star is Melissa, because if you listen to Melissa cracks me the hell up. She cracks me up. But if you listen to the reaction of Melissa, that's what makes it funny. That's what makes it funny. And I know Melissa hates me playing this, but if you haven't heard it, we're proud of it. I don't know if Sarge is still there. Sarge, are you still there? Okay, he might be doing something. But you haven't heard it, have you, Pat? You know who
No.
Howard Stern is? You know who Howard Stern
Oh,
is,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm listening, Brian. You know, I always mute myself
sure.
when, you know, I'm not on the air. So.
I
understand. It'll be a while to pick up the phone and unmute it. I'm muted again.
Sure,
you know.
But have you heard that one, the prank that he did on us, though?
No, sir.
Okay, here you
no,
go.
Sir.
This is Howard Stern. His people came on the show, and they tried to prank us. But what's funny is the reaction of Melissa. Here we go. I'm going to mute everybody so you can actually hear what happened. Okay, here we go. It's one of our classics. Melissa, you cracked me up, girl. Here we go. Here's the prank.
Who am I? Dostoevsky? What is this? Hey, you guys want to hear a good phony phone call?
Sure.
This is fucking hardcore. It's really great. The boys took my voice and had me call into a religious...
Hold on. Can you guys hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
Let me set it up. You know how our show is. We do different themes on the show, you know, so... This particular thing, we started to do religion. You know, like today we did the angels, right? Spiritual things and whatever. You see the title of the show. So they think this is a religious show. So he starts off as saying this is a religious show. It happened to be a topic we were doing.
Uh-huh.
So here you go. Howard Stern pranks Brian and Melissa and Laverne. I think Laverne was there. Here we go.
Who am I? Dostoevsky? What is this? Hey, you guys want to hear a good phony phone call?
Sure.
This is fucking hardcore. It's really great. The boys took my voice and had me call into a religious internet show. Keep in mind that it's a religious show because I sound like I'm insane. So without further ado, here is your phony phone call for the day. Enjoy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Are you going to church, Laverne? Are you going to go to service on Sunday?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on, kiddo. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Hello, 337.
Hi, it's Howard.
Hi.
Yesterday, this song was stuck in my head. I don't know the lyrics, but I can't remember who does this song. You could probably help me out.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have the first time you came on the show. I'm sure you didn't come on the show to play Name That Tune.
I'll sing it for you.
Oh, all right. Let's give it a shot. Go ahead.
Take it to the mountain, mountain. Take it to the
Wow. You have to sing a little bit more for me.
Whoa.
You have to sing a little.
You can take it to the mountain.
You have to sing a little bit more.
You can jump into the fire, but you'll never be free. No.
I don't.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa, you know it. Of course you know it.
I don't. Remember that song. So that song is stuck in your head, huh?
Yes. Hello.
Wait a minute. Wait. First of all.
You can take it to the mountain.
I know what you're talking about.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, they played part of it in Goodfellas.
What?
Do you remember that part of Goodfellas when he was running in the helicopters?
No.
Driving from the
blah,
helicopters?
Blah, 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 blah. I've had it.
Wow.
He's upset.
All right. Shut up.
Come on. You're not.
Fuck you.
Wait a minute.
See,
I hate you.
Come on.
You fuck.
What?
Well, first of all, you are a cunt.
Hey, not on Easter.
Shut up, you fuck.
Hey.
You fucking fat cunt.
Oh, Jesus, help me.
Get off my phone.
You called me.
Who is it? Who's the caller?
Oh, you fucking asshole.
How dare you?
This is a religious show.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Fuck you. Suck my dick.
Jesus.
That's really inappropriate.
Where were we?
Do you remember that part of Goodfellas when he was running in the helicopters?
Wait a minute, hold on. Do we have Howard back?
What?
You're live on the air, 317. You're live on the air.
You can swim into the sea. Oh.
Are we going to go through this whole thing?
Fuck you!
Oh,
no,
my God.
Cunt, I hate you.
Jesus. All right. Whew, enough of that. What?
You're getting trolled, Brian.
What was that?
I know.
That's a crazy person.
Well, it's that Howard guy.
Go ahead, beautiful. You were making a comment. Go ahead. What was your comment?
About oh, my God. I lost my train of thought.
I mean, you know.
I'm shocked with that.
Crazy.
That's a crazy phone call, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love that.
I love it, too.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're trying to talk to you.
Robin. Whoa.
You cunt.
You cunt. You cunt. Oh, my God. That's that Nielsen song, Harry Nielsen.
Yeah.
Whoa. You can take it to the mountain. Din, 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 din. I love this. Nielsen Schmielsen.
Yeah!
Everybody.
And there you have it. How's that, guys? Hello?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just stunning that he started all the verbal abuse there. You know, like...
Well, you know, I'm a little disappointed, actually, Brian, because, there was no real wit or anything in that. I thought, you know, I was sorry. I always knew it was kind of vile and nasty, but he at least had a measure of wit about himself. There was nothing at all witty about that. Nothing. I mean, zero. I'm utterly unimpressed.
Yeah, I like that little, you know, when I hear it, I hear a little different things, and I didn't realize Laverne's voice was so innocent. Who is the caller? This guy's doing vowel language and everything. Laverne, hello, who is the caller? That cracks me up.
But like I said, I was really expecting something a little bit more pointed, a little bit of satire, a little bit of, you know, clever mocking, but there was nothing there. What? Come on, man, you could better than that.
That is true. But, you know, I'm just
so
trying to tell
you. It's kind of a letdown. I was looking forward to something really, really cutting-edge humor. Cutting-edge humor.
Yeah, I would, too.
Didn't hear it.
I know. Well, so this is interesting. So, thank you, Sarge. I just wanted to play it to you and Miss Pat. So you can see what happened. This show must be really popular if Howard Stern's people can, prank us. There's a lot of blog talk radios out there, and they got us.
Well, so, it makes me wonder why you were picked out.
I don't know. I mean, he thought it was a religious show, so they're probably looking for somebody to prank. But there's a lot of religious shows out there, so I take it as a bag. The only thing I could think of is that his people, the highlight of this show, we had a lot of people. CBS was listening to the show. We had a lot of people listening to the show. So, you know, there's a lot of trolls will go on Blog Talk, and who knows who these trolls really are. And maybe these trolls who did troll our show at one time or another belong to somebody, production companies or Howard Stern. They look for Jimmy Kimmel, and their writers look for shit like this, you know. And if Ellen was here and my other group were here, they'll tell you that there's a lot of shit that they ripped off from our show. There's a case in point. What was that show with Big Boom and Big Bang? Is it Big Bang? Help me out. Anybody? It was supposed to start off with a... Is it Big Bang? Oh, God. Forget it. Okay. So anyway, I'm listening to this dude, and he's talking about angels, and he's talking about this, how many angels have us, and we each have three angels and this and this and this. So he got me very interested in him. And we have had the ghost hunters on our show. These are the people who have – they were on CBS for a little while. They were ghost hunters, claiming ghosts were there and hit the camera. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So this is really interesting because Michelle Bollinger is on his show, the Paranormal Podcast, and here it is. And she's going to talk about that too, but get a listen to this. It's called the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold, and this is one with Michelle on it. Listen to her.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. Well, we have one of our favorite people with us. I'm talking about Michelle Bollinger. Michelle, you know her as a prolific author. I think it's something like over 24 nonfiction books on the paranormal. You know her from Paranormal State. You know her from Portals to Hell and many other appearances on paranormal television. And that's just scratching the surface of the things that she has done. And she remains at the forefront with a new program that is coming soon with your help. It's called New Blood. And I'm looking here at the Kickstarter page. It says, New Blood, a double dose of weird paranormal TV with Michelle Belanger. Michelle, welcome to the program as always, and congratulations on this new project.
Thank you. We put a lot of work into it. We did about over 100 hours of filming last fall and definitely have a lot to share.
So I guess to talk about where you're going, maybe we could talk a little bit about where you've been. To me it seems like, paranormal TV for you, just looking from the outside, has been good in many ways, and I'm sure it has raised your profile in many ways, and I'm sure you've had a lot of great experiences in many ways. But, like, any time when the creator, and we've talked about this before, the creators don't really have full control, you run into certain kind of guardrails and limitations on things you could do. Could you just speak a little bit about your experience on paranormal TV, good and bad?
Well, I mean, my first rude awakening was in Paranormal State, because I had this assumption that if you were the production company making a paranormal reality TV show, that at some point you were actually into the paranormal, that you believed it, you were passionate about it, as passionate as the cast who are actually on the show. And I learned pretty quickly that that's not the case. Like, production companies make what they think will sell. And while there may be, like, I was really into ghosts as a kid, like, it's not nearly as up the chain as one might think.
Right.
So my first comeuppance was realizing that, like, people behind Paranormal State didn't necessarily believe in what we, the team, were doing. And especially my psychic stuff, most of them assumed it had to be faked one way or the other. So it was a shock to them when we wouldn't fake things that they asked us to. And I think that is, in a nutshell, kind of the problem. Because you've got these dedicated teams who are really passionate about what they're doing. And then you've got the production company, you've got executive producers, and you've got the network, all of whom have very different ideas of what they think should be happening and what will sell.
Have you seen a change over the years with paranormal TV? How has it evolved? Because you've been there, since this latest iteration over the last 20 years or so. You've been there for most of it. Have you seen it evolve and change in any ways, for good or for ill, or is it basically kind of the same script over and over, so to speak?
I've seen it go in two different directions. So on one hand, you've got more people behind the scenes, like Jack Osborne, who's, got the heavyweight Osborne Media, and Jack is legitimately into this stuff. And one of his purposes is to kind of throw his weight around as someone who's Ozzy Osbourne's son, and Sharon Osbourne's son, and can be like, this is the stuff I want to explore. He has the the name to be able to push
the
back.
Clout, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's got that clout, and he is not afraid to use it. On the other hand, you've got, like, this other thread. So firsthand is, there are definitely people who saw the problem and are on the ground trying to fix that problem, trying to be like, every level of making this show, someone is passionate about this topic. And then you've got what really starts to feel like stuff that's catering to a weird satanic panic revival.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the scare factor, and everything is about fear, and everything's about demons, and everything is just the lowest possible hanging fruit of sensationalism that doesn't necessarily make for genuine paranormal TV, but it does make for popular paranormal TV, especially when you realize that a lot of production companies and networks view paranormal TV as simply one more branch of the horror genre.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting what you said about people who are into it, and really you talked about Jack Osborne, and then the other people who couldn't give two hoots in hell, so to speak. It's just another line item. It's just another profit center. And what I used to say when I worked in radio, I was around a lot of people who were passionate about broadcasting and passionate about music and passionate about their content. But if you go a little bit up the chain, I always said in radio that literally many of these people would broadcast the sound of somebody gurgling 24/7 if they could sell spots against it and make a profit.
It's 100% true. That is true across all entertainment media.
Yeah.
I have worked in the music industry. I've worked in the publishing industry. I've worked in podcasting. I've worked in TV now. And the thing that I see that they all have in common is you've got these passionate creators, and they are the ones who make the content. Like, it doesn't exist without them.
Right.
But
okay, so she blew the cover off of Ghost Hunting TV. Now, it goes in, I'm going to play another one. It's not going to be long. And this is what everybody's asking. Does the government have non-human craft? Do we really have a spaceship hidden somewhere? Are we experimenting with aliens? Oh, my God. What have we done? Well, this might answer it. I'm going to play a little bit of it. Here we go.
UFO whistleblower David Grush claims the U.S. is in possession of multiple non-human craft. That's the subject of today's Paranormal Podcast.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harrell.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I am Jim Harrell. This week we're going to do something a little bit different. As many of you know, about a week ago the news broke about UFO whistleblower David Grush, who said that the U.S. is in possession of multiple non-human craft. I had the opportunity last week to interview Ralph Blumenthal, who was one of the journalists, along with Leslie Kane, who broke that story. And I published that on my YouTube channel, and it's gotten a few thousand views so far. But I wanted to bring that to a wider audience here at the podcast. So we're rebroadcasting that interview. And Mr. Blumenthal knows this story better than anybody because he was one of the original authors of the story that broke on The Debrief about a week ago. And I really valued his knowledge and his insight to it. I think it's a fascinating discussion, and I hope you enjoy it. And stay tuned for after the interview, and I'll give my thoughts on this whole situation. Here it is, my discussion with Ralph Blumenthal. It's been an amazing 72 hours, and it's mainly because of this man and Leslie Kane. The Debrief had put out an article on Monday morning saying that a former U.S. intelligence officer, and supported by other people in the intelligence community, claimed that the U.S. government not only has one, but multiple craft of non-human origin. It's an amazing story, and we have one of the authors of the story here today, Ralph Blumenthal, who for decades worked for the New York Times. His reputation is beyond compare, and we're so glad to have him today. Ralph, thank you for taking time.
Thank you, Jim, for having me.
So, David Grush, what is his main claim?
Well, he's a high-level, was a very high-level intelligence officer out of the Air Force, and he has come forward to us and previously had gone to Congress and the Pentagon with information that he was privy to as a high-level intelligence agent, asserting that the U.S. has recovered a craft of intact and partially intact of non-human origin. And he says, suffered retaliation as a result of coming forward illegally, actually, because there's a whistleblower statute that protects people with information like this against retaliation. And it's all on the record. I mean, he's not an anonymous source. He's a known source. His comments were approved at the Pentagon for release to us. So we think this is quite a breakthrough.
So some people might say, well, what is different in this case? A lot of people make a lot of claims, and you kind of touched on some of it there, but what is the difference in this case?
Well, first of all, his position. He has impeccable intelligence credentials. He worked with the UAP, the UFO jargon task force at the Pentagon. And he's doing this on the record. He claims he has talked to, you know, many people in the government. As a matter of fact, his information is so confidential that some of it couldn't be shared with congressional staff. So this is not an unnamed source. This is a highly decorated officer. By the way, he served in Afghanistan, and we have a picture in the article of him in uniform in Afghanistan. Beyond reproach, as another officer named in the piece says of him. I think the level of confirmation, the on-the-record sources, and the detail of the information, I think, is what sets this case apart.
Now, as I understand it, he's not actually seen any of these supposed non-human craft, but he has reports and has discussed with other members of the intelligence community who have direct contact and direct experience with these. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, he doesn't claim to have handled any of this material himself. As far as we know, what he told us in the unclassified part of his testimony, but he testified to Congress for many hours and produced a transcript of hundreds of pages, which is classified. So we don't know what he told Congress, on the classified level. He never claimed to us that he handled any of these craft, but he certainly seems to be very well informed from his contacts in the UAP task force and other work he did that suggests he knows what he's talking about.
Now, many skeptics out there, I saw something, Dr. Michael Shermer, the skeptic, the head skeptic many days, very much these days, said something to the effect, there's no there there. That's not a direct quote, but that's the gist of it. That if you have the evidence, bring me a craft, bring me a piece of physical evidence. What would you say to people who say, well, this is just some other guy saying some other thing?
Well, this whole subject has been surrounded with the most intense classification and secrecy. There's no doubt about that. It's not so simple, bring me a craft. The government has buried this information. We know this, Leslie Kane and I, from long reporting, has buried this in many super secret programs, special access programs that are protected. They're stovepiped in the sense that there's no one person in charge of all these programs. They're hidden away in various nooks and crannies of the government and in private contractor programs. In some cases, the government has given this work out to private defense contractors so that possibly it's not amenable to freedom of information requests. It's outside the government. So this subject has been, surrounded with the tightest secrecy over the years, and it's not surprising that people are not walking in with pieces of a craft. But when you have highly credible witnesses like David Grush coming forward on the record, testifying to Congress, and by the way, he's represented by a former Inspector General of the intelligence community, and other people like Jonathan Gray of NASIC, who we quote, and Carl Nell, and another Army colonel who worked on the UAP task force. So, everything seems to line up in his testimony, and I think, the skeptics can say anything they want. The subject is very difficult, but little by little, I think we're prying out the truth.
Why did he decide to come forward at this great personal risk?
Well, he says that it was, information that the American public deserved to know. He waited until he left the government on April 7th, so he was cleared. And as I said before, he did get a clearance to discuss these things with us. He told the government Office of Pre-Publication Review exactly what he intended to say, and they did not object. I mean, if they had found him saying something that would be in violation of his security constraints, classified, they would have said so. we take him at his word that he thought this is information that the American public deserved to know. By the way, you know, you're not giving away any national security secrets if you tell people that we are in possession of craft of non-human origin. That doesn't reveal any technology secrets. And by the way, you know, other adversarial nations, Russians and Chinese and others, presumably are doing the same kind of research we're doing. So it's not big news to them that we are, you know, doing research in this field. Presumably they have recovered some of the same material that we have and doing the same kind of research. So it's being kept secret, not from our adversaries, but from the American people and people around the world. All humanity deserves to know this very important information.
Now, some may say, well, this person's background is in intelligence. So what's to say that he's not currently involved with some kind of disinformation or PSYOPs project, and that's what this is all about? What are your thoughts to folks who say that?
Well, I mean, you can come up with, you know, so many different scenarios, fanciful scenarios. After, you know, 45 years of reporting for the New York Times, I can...
You get the idea. If you want to go on a paranormal site... It's called the Paranormal Podcast, and you can hear different stories. But there was something I wanted to say that blew my mind, but there's a story that goes with it. Earlier this week, or this year, I didn't realize I was not broadcasting. I was off the air for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. I didn't think it was that long. And, you know,
that's
I got back.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. And I might need you in this one, Pat. And that's a long time. And but a lot of people who listen to this show and friends, including Mr. Solution, probably Sarge, too, I don't know if he was in around that time, wondering what the hell's going on. And a lot of people thought the worst. A lot of people did. But I couldn't get a hold of all you guys. And I apologize for that. Well... yesterday, so I'm letting you in on something now. This last week I've been putting together the best of Hammer. It's a good thing. It starts from the beginning of when I first got on the air to all my guests, you know, how I started, how my voice sounded, how I was shocked, because I have no radio training whatsoever, and how I became the Hammer. I went into different personalities of radio. It's kind of funny because this is how it is now. But it had some great, interesting guests on there. I cannot tell you, you know, Roots, Haley, and really A-list guests, so on and so forth. So you can enjoy it. Now, I put them together. I haven't played them yet because yesterday I had a telephone call. And the telephone call, usually when I go, I don't even like to say that I survived cancer. I don't like to say, but I did. I did. I beat it. But I don't like to say it, and I'm not used to it. I'm not used to it. Well, I get a call. Mr. Jackson, I go, yeah, it's a very serious voice. I didn't even recognize the voice. And it says, I'd like to see you, and can you come to my office? And I go, who is this? Very serious voice. Dr. So-and-so. I go, Dr. So-and-so, I don't have an appointment to see you until September. He goes, I know that. And I said, what's going on? He goes, well, we remember the – so I apparently I – and I forgot I did it. I took a blood test. They told me it was something else. Whatever. I took the test. Maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I don't know. It says something's in your test. We need to talk. And I said, okay. Maybe next week or whatever. No, I need to talk to you now. I go, okay, well, normally my girlfriend's with me. You know, she's in a consultation room with me, you know, when they talk, because sometimes she can reassure me what was said, you know, two things. And they go, no, I think you should come by yourself. I go, that's odd. Okay. So I go in, and not so good thing happened. So, like I said, I was gone for how many weeks? I was gone for 6 weeks. Nobody knew what happened to me. I put together, if I'm gone again, which is a good possibility, I put together the best of Hammer. You guys should check it out. And if you're following me, you should be able to pick up the show. And it's really good from the beginning how I started to now. So that's it. And so that's all I have to say. I get the results tomorrow. I will not be on tomorrow. And if it goes the way we think it's going to go, it's not good. It's not good.
Oh, my.
So that's it. So so I had to break the news to my girlfriend, right? It's just knocked her off her feet.
It's kind of stunning me, too.
Well, the only reason I'm saying this is because I was gone for 6 weeks. Nobody knew where I was. And it was, and I kept in contact with a couple of people, and thank you. But there's other people who did not know, Mr. Solution, Stanley, so on and so forth. And they were worried. I mean, it's been a long time worried for me in 6 weeks. And I made a promise I won't do that again, you know, because you should know as much as I could tell you. And if it's what we think it's going to be, I will not be on the air for quite a while.
Oh, no.
So, but I put this together. And again, Tess hasn't come back yet. I had to do another one.
You're not
going to
keep us completely in the dark, are you?
I don't really... It's not a for sure thing. I just took it.
I mean, you
I'm
understand that those of us who contribute regularly to your show have a sort of a vested interest in you and your
welfare.
That's
what I'm talking. And that's why I'm talking, Sarge. I swear to God, that's why I'm trying to talk. You know, that's what I'm talking. And you guys are invested. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Well, look, the main thing is that you do whatever you got to do to take care of yourself. That's more important in our vested interest. But just be aware that even though we acknowledge that, at least I do, we would like to know to the extent that you're willing to share with us.
I will.
Anything we can do whatsoever, you know, to kind of alleviate. We'd appreciate it.
I will share. And I will. I will, as soon as, I swear to God, as soon as I find out they test is for something specific and it's going to come in tomorrow. And as soon as I find out, I will let everybody know. I swear to God. For right now, we're crossing our fingers. Everybody's crossing their fingers. I don't want to say what it is until I feel like I jinxed it this way. I'm just saying that I will be on Thursday. I will be on Thursday. I promise you. I will be on Thursday. I might even be on tomorrow afternoon, but I will be on Thursday. And Thursday, even if you're not around, you can listen to podcasts. You'll know exactly what's going on. You'll know exactly what's going on. I think you guys could probably figure it out right now. Something spread to another organ or something. I think you can figure it out. I'm trying to do the biggest clue as I can, Sarge. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to do it.
Brian, can you just let us know tomorrow with the message?
I will. Now read me, Pat. So you're the psychic. I'm counting on you.
Oh, you want me to read you?
I want you to read me. You might give me some good news here. Right, Sarge? I mean, I got the expert here.
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me have a look. You want me to do a health reading?
Yes. do a health reading and whatever reading you got. I'll take whatever you got, kid.
Okay, give me half a second to shuffle.
I'll give you half a second. So going back to how I teased everybody this morning about this guy, so this guy started to talk to angels. That caught my eye, you know, what I'm going through, angels, really. And then he did something very special. He calls the angels. He calls the angels. How he talks to the angels, and he says he talks to them childlike, like, hi, and he does a little ditty. I can't do the ditty, but he says they're childlike. So this guy is an award-winning musician, and he won a lot of awards. He's not a cuckoo. So he figured out a way to talk to the angels, and when he does, they come to him, the angels. And so you want to hear some of the music that he calls the angels with? That's the one I was saying to blow your mind. You want to hear some of the music? Well, there's a music, okay, let me see here. And he calls them, and he plays this music, and the angels come to him, whether you believe it or not, but it's very interesting. And it's a music what you would expect. Let me see, which was a good one? Nope, not that one. Which one is calling the angels? Keep on listening, Pat. I think this is... Oh, okay, here we go. Here's one. Let's play this. Let's play this one. So he says that when he plays it, the angels come to him. And here's one song called Cosmic Lover. I don't know if I can... What's that? Oh, here it is. Here's a little bit of it. I don't know what this one is, but here's some of his music that he calls the angels with. Here it is. My Pat is my thing. Here we go. I'm not hearing it. Damn. Here it is. So now he's calling the angels. All right, kiddo, let me hear it.
Well, I'm only seeing one thing that's showing up here, and it's showing glands, solar plexus, and breast.
Breast?
Yeah, well, you do have them. You're just a guy.
Oh, me? I thought
yeah.
I thought you were talking about women. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what my mind is. We have breasts, but they're non-functional. You know what I mean? They don't
yeah.
function in that sense.
They're
decorative.
Yes.
It's probably more to do with glands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully it's not, because that's very difficult. But.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing anything terrible here. I'm not seeing any death. I'm not seeing any ultimate terrible things.
That's a good thing.
None of the really bad cards came out.
Good. That's a good thing.
So I would say you're in pretty good shape, whatever it is they can handle.
There you go. Thank you, Pat. There you go.
You're welcome, dear.
Okay.
There you go.
That's an
but
encouraging sign.
But I do
want to
hear after
good.
You go.
Yeah. Yes, it is, huh?
I do want to hear about it after you go.
Oh, yeah, I will, sweetheart, I will. Thursday I will be on. I might be on. If you follow me, Pat, if you haven't followed me, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson and hit the follow button. And sometimes, like I said, I come on weird hours. I might be so happy tomorrow that I'll be on, but I will be on, or I might be too sad tomorrow to be on. But either way, Thursday is, wait a minute, Thursday, I keep saying Thursday. Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday, is it right? Yeah, so Thursday will be the day. Thursday will be the day I die. That'll be the day when I die.
No.
Buddy Holly,
no.
That'll be the day.
You're not going to die.
But, we're all going to die.
Well, not immediately.
Not this week.
Not, I don't think you're going to go anytime soon. You too damn hard.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, not immediately. Not right now. I know.
Yeah. You in your time. In your time.
In my time. That's right. And so so that's what caught my ear. It's really weird because you're hearing this and you're saying you know what you're going to face tomorrow, and it could be going here, it could be going there. And all of a sudden you're hearing somebody talk about angels. It's like, what? I mean, you turn on the radio at that particular time because you usually don't listen to radio. You got about, you know, there's 24 hours in a day, and you turn it on for 2 minutes in an obscure hour, and the next thing you know, some guy's saying, you know, the angels are coming. What? You know, you're going, what the hell? Oh, here's the song, How I Summon the Angels. What? I got to get Pat on the air. I got to find out what's going on here. What the hell?
You're going to be okay, honey.
I think so. I hope so, Kim.
Yeah, don't stress yourself out too much.
Yeah, it is a stressful thing.
Of course
like
it
I
is.
Said, like I lined up, five shows already. So if after Thursday it's not the news that I want to hear, and I have to go, you know, do some things that I need to do, you won't miss me because they're funny shows. It's the beginning of the show, and in the beginning I didn't know who I was. People are telling me to be Tom Likas, like you guys hate Tom Likas. The women hate Tom Likas. You know, be one of these guys, and you're doing it for the men, and you're saying women are bad. And I go, I can't be like that. Be like Howard Stern. I go, I cannot be like that. That's Howard Stern. Be like this, and then for a while they started calling me the Black Howard Stern. For a while, they started calling me the Black Howard Stern, and then I said, I don't like that. There's only one Howard Stern. And I broke away from that, and you got this. So you can see the it's funny if you see the transition of the asshole I became now, the dark, dark guy I became now. Because the first time I had so much hope, hi, everybody. Even my voice was like, hi, like a puppet. And as you get, and as the year goes on, it's like depression hits, hey, what's up, everybody?
Now, actually, you finally went through adult puberty.
I think I did. Sorry, I think I did. You want to hear? I got a minute. You gonna want to hear something that's really sexy, Sarge? You got to put this in your thing because you'll be dating soon. And oh, I just lost it. Damn it! Forget it. This is music that's a go-to music that you're guaranteed to get laid, and I just lost it. Damn it! I was going to pay for you, and I was going
to
pay for
you. You about to get your Barry White on? You about to get some Barry White on?
I'm going to get my Barry White. You got it. You got it.
Oh,
uh-oh.
Baby.
Well,
I got to hear this,
Barry. Man. Oh, it was another one, but where's my Barry? I miss my Barry. You know, Barry used to be in the studio, but somebody took my Barry when they left. That's interesting. He had a couple of things. Practice What You Preach is one of my favorites. That's one of my favorites. Let's see. Okay, hey, Pat, are you still curious about black men?
I don't know.
One of these, oh, we scare you. You hear that, Sarge?
You don't know.
That doesn't sound like you're... You know, at least Sarge isn't all that black.
What?
Now she's saying I'm not authentically black enough. Now she's saying I'm not authentically. Let me tell you something, Sister Pat. Where it counts, I am definitely authentically black.
Yes, okay. He is. She got confused with that European blood in you.
hey, it's just that, that's just there for leavening, you know what I mean? I'm talking about the essentials.
Okay, yeah, that
are
makes
there.
Sense.
The essentials are there, trust me.
Oh, man. They say, Sarge, when I did the show, people were surprised I was black.
Yeah.
And they were going, I just, because I used to talk on Facebook, and I get criticism. Oh, I thought you have more bass in your voice, man. I go, it's my voice. And then, oh, man, you don't sound black at all.
Oh, you mean bass in your voice like Michael Jackson?
Yeah. I got it every which way. And there used to be a person in the room say, Brian, make sure you say you're black, because it sounded like I was racist, but make sure you say you're black. I go, okay, I'm fine, I'm black. Wow, I get it. This song is for you, Pat. I'm going to stay on it a little longer. Okay. You know,
okay.
There's women out there are wondering, what is Brian like on a date? Is he really that bravado? Is he really that kind of guy? Does he just talk about puss every day? He must talk about something else. Something else has to be in his mind. What is it like going on a date with him? And I'll tell you what it's like to go on a date. Yeah, you can picture. So I'm going to tell you what it's like to go on a date with me the first night, because this is what's in my head. Here you go. This song will explain what's in my head. And this is how it is to go on a date with me. It says the song. And Pat, this is exactly how it is.
Thank you.
There you go, Pat. And that's the first 20 minutes of it. There you go. There you go.
It was interesting. I don't listen
very
to much of that kind of music.
Oh, yeah. That's the music we tap. You know we do. That's what we do. That's how we tap the booty. That's right.
Okay. Speak for yourself there, pal.
I know.
How you doing?
Sarge is more romantic.
Yeah, I think that it's the time to bring out the romance if it's meaning. That is if it's meaning something. Now, if you're just looking to hit it and put it like on a weekend pass, that's another matter. I'm talking about when it counts. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm just a criminal and a juvenile delinquent. Sarge is a grown-up romance. He's a romantic guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm not that romantic. I guess I am, but, you know, under the right circumstances.
Oh, hold on. That's my phone. Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'll let it go to voicemail. Okay, let me get something that Sarge, what do you think is something that you, what do you think is romantic music? Give me an artist.
Okay, anything by Nat King Cole, Sam Cooke, the Isley Brothers, well, not anything by that, but much of the Smokey Robinson and the Miracle, Whitney Houston, Adele, you know, I mean, there's a lot of artists out there that have the romantic inclination. Lots of them. Yeah, I mean, you know it when you hear it. I mean, you know. What's his name? Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, my God. You're going into Pendergrass and Luther. You're getting into Luther.
Yeah, Luther, Pendergrass. Yeah, you know.
Oh, man. Pat, you don't have a chance with Luther or Teddy. You won't have a chance.
I mean, let's face it. Guys like this are in short supply today, okay?
So
you can't name them as readily as you once upon a time could, but there are lots of them out there if you're looking for just pure romance.
Yeah.
And, and sensuality. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's there. You can find it.
Well, here's a little taste of what Sarge may be talking about, Pat. Listen very closely.
What do you want to do? So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me. I am patiently waiting.
To get to the point of it, to the meat of the matter, as it were.
That's right. We're going to turn this white girl, Sarge.
Well, we're going to turn her out right away. We're going to have to turn her, but not turn her out right away. You know, she got to stick around in the fold to get properly
broken in. That's true. I don't know if she can handle this, but Sarge, she may be too early to handle this, but we got to give her this. Listen to this.
Ooh.
Looking back over my years, I guess I shed it some tears. Told myself time and time again, this time I'm gonna win. For another fight, things ain't right, I'm losing again. Take a fool and lose twice. All over again. Think I better let it go. Looks like another love betrayal.
Dry panty in sight, man. I'm telling you. Teddy. That's when it was really good romantic soul music, man. Wow.
Just that's masterclass stuff right there, man.
It is. Wow. You got to practice what you're preaching.
Yep.
Love TKO. And 24 positions in a one-night stand. Yeah, get off. let me see. There's usually I have dedication, and thank you for allowing me to share things with you guys. Thank you for allowing me, and I don't want to make this a sad thing, but Sarge is right, because in my heart it's like I didn't realize I was gone for 6 weeks. I didn't realize it. And people invested. He's right. And what you're reading, Pat, to God's ears, right? Right?
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything serious. Like, if it is serious, they're going to handle it.
Mm. Yeah.
Well?
Yeah. What did you say? It's going to end what?
I said they're going to handle it. Don't
oh, they're
worry.
Gonna handle
life
it.
Is soon.
I thought you
don't
said it's
worry.
Gonna end. Nah, they're gonna handle it. You know, I know. They will. Okay. And normally, I do a dedication. I'm gonna end this with a dedication. That I'm gonna send a dedication to myself because I'm thinking positive, and this is how I feel, and I want to thank you guys. I love you guys. I'll see you guys Thursday, and this is a song I'm going to send to myself. Here we go. And that's it. Here I go again.
Okay, Brian. Well, you look after yourself, and we'll see you Thursday.
I sure will, because nobody else will look after me. Now, Pat.
Oh, yes, she will.
You've been on the show for about 3 hours. We've been playing really romantic black music. Do you have any urges for, like, watermelon fried chicken?
No, I'm not a foodie, but I was getting interested in other things, yeah.
Yeah, a little hot chocolate. There you go, girl. This is why Sarge is from Europe.
Like this. Now you got to marry you call me a European. Are you serious?
No, I'm calling you a black Shaka Zulu. That's what I'm calling you, a black warrior. Any man, I'm gonna tell you something. Any man who carried a badge and the time that you carried that badge and what was going on at the time, the politics, the racial shit and all this blue coat bullshit and so handling going in the hood, getting called names and all that bullshit, and you still wore it proudly, I admire you, man. No, that's
thanks a lot. Sometimes, I think about my failings as a police officer. I don't know if I really deserve that, but I definitely tried this job properly, and I know a lot of guys who did, and they definitely deserve it.
Well, you deserve it too, my friend. How long were you a police officer, Sarge?
23 years.
23 years, Pat. You hear that? Man's a superhero. He's Marvel, man. And I'm going to tell you something. If anything that exudes black power, black pride, you're talking to Sarge. That's it.
I see.
That's it. That's it.
Man, let me tell you what I'm in awe of. Every time I read the accomplishments of many of my ancestors and the things they had to go through, I am in awe of them.
Right.
Complete awe of them that they accomplished what they did despite everything that was against them. That's why I hate some of these little whiny bastards today. It just irritates me to no end.
Well, you see me. You'll see
it really
me
does.
Live.
You have no idea. You have no idea how much it does. I mean, I cannot tell you how much it irritates me to hear some of this whining compared to what, they did. They just went and did what they had to do, acknowledging what was against them. And these people have got some of the most incredible entitlements I've ever seen, and all they do is whine.
And then they feel for their ancestors. You weren't even alive back then. Well, it's the Juneteenth. It's about slavery. Yeah? Why are we looking back?
Yeah.
Why are we looking forward? Shut up.
Yeah.
And they're finally recognizing our people. What? Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, it's that's the ultimate expropriation. You know what I mean? That is the ultimate expropriation. To expropriate someone else's suffering is always your own.
Right. But you could never feel what they could have felt. I'm going to tell you something. When we talk about slavery, and I'm just going to say this really quickly because I really got to go. When we talk about slavery, everybody's always thinking about the black male. Can you imagine being a black woman slave that you're being raped continuously by master, and then you get impregnated, and then you carry that baby to term, and then they sell that baby? Can you imagine the life that the black women, I would love to do a show on black women, in slavery, because those stories have not yet been told. They'll be too horrific. You know that, Sarge? They would be too horrific.
But you know what's even more wonderful about it, though? For the most part, when those women were allowed to retain and take care of their children, they loved them and did so because they were their children. They didn't talk about how they wish they'd afforded massive babies. They didn't hold it against the children what happened to them. They loved their children, and they raised them. And that, I think, is a beautiful lesson.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know. Well, Sarge and Pat, why do people like looking back? I mean, even today, they'll look back and say, but even when you look back saying that was your happiest years, you couldn't wait to get out. Remember in high school, we couldn't wait to get out of high school. We couldn't wait to get out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
Send me to school. And then all of a sudden, 5 years later from high school, God, I want to go to a reunion. What the hell is wrong with you? Remember, you couldn't wait to get out,
My 40s were my best years.
Yeah. Well, no, you still got a lot of good years. That's what I'm saying. What do you mean 40 is your best years unless you got some
well,
kind
no,
of thing
I mean,
going?
As far as being not disabled, I was
oh,
on
I
enough morphine
saying.
That I was able to function.
Right.
And right now I'm kind of without pain meds, so I'm just kind of not doing well.
Oh,
you
good.
Know. Yeah, I'm oh. supposed to have an appointment next month for that. So.
Oh my God, she's on this. You don't know the pain that she's doing just to hang on this show for about an hour. I mean, if you really want to know what's going on, my God, you know, you'd
yeah.
be surprised. She's constantly in pain. She doesn't even sleep. If she knows that I'm coming on the air, she doesn't sleep the day before, Sarge. Please tell Sarge why you can't sleep the day before I'm on the air. That you.
Well, no, because I'm in so much pain, the bed is a bit of a problem. Going to sleep, waking up is always such a hassle.
Well, you see all the different forms courage takes, Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, Pat just expressed another form of it.
Right.
And that's always good. And, of course, has many different forms and many different guys.
Well, waking up every day like that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
Believe me, I got not pretty damn good idea.
I had my college days when I played football in college. I played in UCLA, believe me. Oh my God! I could not feel the pain that you feel, Pat, and I cannot feel the pain that Sarge feels. But pain is pain, right? And just sometimes it is. Hey, Pat, I want you to listen to the words of this, okay? One last thing, please, Sarge. I think I'm going to introduce you to somebody, so I think you're going to like the music. But listen to the words, okay? It's Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Listen to the words. I think you're going to like it.
I like him.
Listen, Pat, here you go.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, this is the reason why I always did like Bruno Mars, and that's one reason why he's not a barbarian, man. The guy, you know, the guy does speak to things that are, you know, more elevated and more thoughtful. And I really like that in any musician.
I do. But, you know, the words are funny. I'm just going to repeat just a paragraph of it, just in case you miss it. It said, baby, said baby, said baby. He goes, what you doing? And then as a person, what you doing? Where you at? Oh, you got plans. Don't say that. Shut your trap. Well, well, before
sometimes
you, think
you gotta keep. Sometimes too, you gotta keep them in their place too. You know.
That's true. And then it says, "I'm sipping wine, sip sip, in a robe, drip drip. I look too good to be alone. Woo woo. My house is clean, my house is clean. My pool is warm, just shaved, smooth like a newborn." He goes, "We should be dancing, romancing in the east wing and the west wing of this mansion. What's happening? I ain't playing no games." Here's a part that I think Pat's going to like. Go, here you go, Pat. "Oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. You're so tight. You're so tight. I won't bite unless you like." And then it says, "If you smoke, would you smoke? I got the haze. Purple haze?" "And if you're hungry, girl, I got fillets." So the lyrics are really funny. Okay, kids, I'll see you guys Thursday, huh?
Okay, don't worry too much, Brian.
Not at all. I got my reading.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
But like they say, it's always darkest before the dawn, my friend.
It is, right? And let me tell you something. I'm not afraid to die anymore. I'm not. I see people who I haven't seen before. I know. I had a fear of that, but I'm not anymore. But it's not going to come to that.
I think your last event cleared that up, didn't it?
It scared the hell out of me, but, you know, we're all going to do it, right? And anyway, well, I'm not talking about that. We're gonna have a great show Thursday, Friday, everything else. We're gonna get this shit over with. That's what we're gonna do, right? And it'll be fun. It'll be fun. All right, guys. This is Hug
Take
Your
care.
Black Man Day. So Pat in Canada, it's Hug Your Black Man Day. So you see a strange black man just walking around your neighborhood, just give him a big hug. See what he does.
Yeah, just hope his name isn't like Jordan. And just hope his name isn't Jordan Neely the second.
I think it would shock them. They just moved in.
They would shock them. There you go. And just whisper.
They might wonder about you. You just started running up to him and started hugging him for no reason.
I know. If he calls you Karen, don't worry about it. Okay. All right.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up? Strange white woman hugging me. What's going on with this neighborhood? I'm really friendly. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great day, Gary. I'll see you guys Thursday. Bye, everybody.
Don't
be safe.
Don't stress out. Bye.
You got
Take
it.
Care.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you.